Okay, I want to welcome everyone in the audience here to the regular meeting, Thursday, April 7th, 2016, to the Harbor Advisory Board and people on TV land. So this is the regular meeting here, and we have a quorum. Lynn is not going to be here today. Lynn Messner, she called. She's stuck in Port San Luis, I believe, in a haul-out position, so she would not be able to make it. And thank you, Joe, for filling in for the commercial fisherman's seat. Alan's out there making a living right now. So we have a quorum, and I'd like to have a moment of silence, please. And then, Gene, if you could lead us to the Pledge of Allegiance, I'd appreciate it.
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Gene. Okay, this is the time we go down the aisle here and have any advisory board member announcements and presentations. Joe, I'll start with you. Do you have anything to share with us about the fishing activities right now or anything?
No, not at this point.
Gene?
No.
I do not have anything. No. Neil? Dana?
Yes, the Morro Bay Yacht Club is going to be celebrating their 60th annual opening day, Sunday. And so it's a time when the membership comes out. They don't usually look any better than they do that day. We actually some of us put on a blue blazer, but which is rare at Morro Bay Yacht Club. And some of our city dignitaries show up. Hopefully our harbor director might make a showing. And typically at opening day comes from back east or even Europe. After the thaw, they get the boats out and they celebrate opening day. But here we sail year round, so it's just a time for us to get cleaned up. And it'll be followed by a race, so it's Sunday at 10. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Dana. Ron, do you have anything?
I don't, but I want to know, Dana, if I come, will I see you in a white cap with scrambled eggs on the bill?
Not exactly, but I may be helping out with the cannon. So you should come, Ron. You should come. You're my guest.
Cannon.
Okay. Thank you, Ron. So this is at the time where public comment. If someone has anything to discuss that's not on the agenda, they'd like to come up and say a few words, this is the time to do it.
Everybody get up at once.
Okay. If you can state your name and who you are and where you're from and what you like to discuss.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Terry Simons, longtime resident of the county, soon to be a resident full-time in Morro Bay. I have several boats here in slips and have recently reactivated my enthusiasm for getting a harbor maintenance facility, and I've been working with Dana and the subcommittee on that. Just wanted to let you know I was here, and when you get to that item on your business agenda, I'd love to have a few words with you if we can talk about it, but I won't take up any more time now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Richard Sadowski, citizen of Morro Bay. I'm also on the Morro Bay Planning Commission. I don't know if you guys are going to be pulling the agenda or on the business items with regard to eelgrass. I'd like to make a comment on that. And then also, that's it for now.
Okay, thank you. Jeremiah.
Yeah, good evening, members of the
the Harbor Advisory Board and city staff. My name is Jeremiah O'Brien, and I just wanted to announce to everybody here, this is, I believe everybody get a handout, and I won't read the whole thing, but it's a national award that the city won after receiving an application from Lisa Wise Consulting, who did a community sustainability plan for the city. They were contracted by the city to do it. And they won the award on February 22nd, and last weekend, Henry went to Phoenix to receive the award. It's a plaque that he will be presenting either this next city council meeting or the one following. It's a very, very prestigious award, and it involves quite a bit. Hopefully Henry will discuss all of the implications of receiving this award, but the award was awarded or chosen in Aspen, Colorado, and then awarded in Phoenix, Arizona. And let's see. So some of the key findings, I'll just be brief on them. Between 1990 and 2013, Morro Bay commercial fishermen generated more than $130 million at the dock. And that was only for 13, we're many years advanced from that particular date. Each dollar invested in local wages purchased ice, fuel, supplies, vessel repair and maintenance. Morro Bay commercial fishing industry supports between 170 and 194 jobs in our county. Between 1909 and 1913, during the recession era, the commercial fishing fishermen in Morro Bay attracted 17 new and returning fishermen. We have a vibrant working waterfront, and it's a key driver of tourism in Morro Bay. It includes vibrant commercial fishing activity, recreational fishing vessels for hire, marine wildlife tours, aquaculture, sailing fleet, restaurants that serve locally caught seafood. Top priorities for commercial fishermen include establishment of a boatyard, haul-out facility, and a public cold and freezer storage. So anyway, that's a very prestigious award. I hope everybody's at the city council meeting when it's presented. And again, I'm not sure when it will be on the agenda, either this council meeting or the following one, whenever Henry Ponarelli has the opportunity to get here with it. But anyways, thank you very much. And by the way, the crab fishermen in the area have begun work finally after a long drought. It was a pretty sad Christmas for most of our crab fishermen, but they're working now. More than half the fleet is up north, and a few of the guys, I think four fishermen, a couple out of Morro Bay and a couple out of Port San Luis, are working locally, and they're doing pretty good. And very shortly, I'm sure they'll be joined with many more members of the fleet that'll be coming back this way. Thank you guys very much, and girls.
Thank you, Jeremiah. Okay.
Good evening. Marla Jo Breton Sadowski, North Morro Bay. I'd like to address the recent posting from Ocean Posting, and it's regarding the state of emergency of our oceans off the California coast for the reason of hypoxia. That's funny? It's not funny.
I'm not funny.
Oh, I thought somebody laughed. It's not really funny. Maybe I thought you didn't know what hypoxia is. Okay. Hypoxia is when, just really layman terms, when there's the oxygen is taken out of a body or body of water, it's called hypoxia. And so, and in a state of hypoxia, life forms and the ecosystem are in extreme danger. As if if you went to the hospital and you weren't breathing, that kind of danger. So, I know that the fishermen love the ocean, and and you're out there on the ocean. And I'm just hoping to encourage you, if you haven't, you may have already know all of this, but to research the harmful algal bloom. It's called HAB, same as your name, but harmful algal bloom is the state of the toxic red algae that's enveloping much of the western coastline on the Pacific right now. And in it, one of the off gases of that algae is domoic acid. And domoic acid is part of what happened with the crabs. I believe you can tell me if that's not so, but that's my true understanding. Okay, so what I'm getting at is the fisheries. I've been following the scientists looking at the fisheries, what's happening with the fisheries, comparing that and looking at it in relationship to the chemical imbalances in the ocean environment and how that may affect the fisheries. And one of the things I learned is that, with the domoic acid in the crabs, usually the animals, the crabs would be able to just be infected with it for a couple days or a couple weeks or something, and it passed right through the viscera and go out of the body, you know. But because of the high level of domoic acid and the hypoxic conditions that are happening, the crabs and also sardines are displaying the domoic acid for much longer, and that's, you know. So anyway, I just wanted to hopefully reach out to you to investigate exactly what's going on with the ocean environment and be part of the solution, you know. And we all want you to be successful, and we, you know, would like your generations after you to have fisheries. But we're at a point right now where it's going to take all hands on board here for the conditions that we're seeing. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else like to speak? Seeing none, I'm going to bring it back, and we can take a look at the minutes from the Harvard Advisory Board meeting held on March 3rd, 2016. Everyone has had a chance to look at that. If there's any corrections, comments, if I hear a motion here.
So moved that we accept.
So moved by Dina. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Second by Joe. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Minutes pass. So the public hearing reports and appearances, Harvard Department status report. This is where we have our illustrious Eric Enserby, Harvard director, discuss some of the actions that are going on in the harbor. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, Bill, and good evening, and welcome back. I guess I can't say hello at TV land because there's nobody out there in TV land. Except
there will be.
Later. recent department activity. Winter, as we know, seems to have kind of wound away without really winding up much with the El Nino, but still been an active winter for us. We had a number of emergencies over this past month or so, 8 emergency responses, 120 calls for service. We had 11 days of small craft advisories for wind or swell, probably mostly wind, and 6 days of gale winds and 9 days of hazardous entrance conditions. On that note, and not in the status report, Coast Guard Chief Jay Nillis has been working with our patrol supervisor, Becca Kelly, to install or to have put on the city's website a weather advisory section. As you know, we stopped doing, I think I announced a couple meetings ago, we stopped doing our hazardous bar warning notifications to the landings when the bar warning would go up and it would come down, because it was too many people to notify and too many were getting missed, and it just wasn't a very effective way of doing it. Coast Guard's got their lights out there. What we've instituted now on the city's website, if you go to the Notify Me section where you can sign up for agendas and all the other good stuff, you go to the City News section, And then the drop down out of that is Morro Bay Marine Advisory. And between us and the Coast Guard, we're putting weather advisories as they come up, small craft advisories, wind, gale warnings and whatnot, and also putting the hazardous bar warning when it goes up and down. So if you subscribe to that, either as a text or an email, bar warning goes up, you can get automatic text or automatic email, and also the weather advisory stuff. So again, it's a Notify Me section on the city's website. Go to City News and go to Morro Bay Marine Advisory so you can subscribe to that and get real-time updates when those advisories go up and down.
Thank you.
On Wednesday the 16th, we received a dispatch from the county for a surf rescue at North Point. A Nebraska visitor was out boogie boarding at North Point when strong offshore winds blew her out to sea. She couldn't make it back in. We sent jet ski down there with Becca Kelly and Dana Stein, as well as Scott Mather went by land to pursue or to look at the scene from up above at North Point on land. Rescue one on with the jet ski, picked up the woman successfully, brought her back to the beach, fire looked at her, a little bit cold, a little bit shaken, but otherwise unhurt. So just a reminder, folks out there, you know, be aware of the ocean and the conditions, and don't get in over your head, and make sure you're equipped for what you're trying to do up there in the ocean. Also on the 16th, the Coast Guard had a chief frocking. I know that sounds bad, but it's actually a good thing. Sort of a dressing up of a Coast Guardman who's been promoted to chief, and that was bestowed upon Adam Johnson. Adam came to us back in 1998 as just a standard Coast Guard kid. Left, went up north over to the East Coast, all around the country, and came back to us here about 3 years ago, and he received his chief ranking here, tested for it, got his chief ranking. And unfortunately, he's going to be moving on because Adam's a really good kid. We're going to miss him and wish him well on his next assignment. Saturday the 19th, our lifeguard folks conducted tryouts for this coming lifeguard season, as well as the Morro Bay Junior Lifeguard Program and the Cayucas Lifeguard. Also, we generally team up and do our tryouts on the same time. And then when we hire, we all run an academy together. Unfortunately, the turnout was pretty darn low. I think we had 8 people total for all 3 divisions. 5 successfully tried out. A couple of them didn't make the minimum swim time. For the lifeguard staff, unfortunately, we don't need too many folks, so we've got a couple of folks that have come forward in the meantime we may be looking at. Downside with Cayucas is I've heard maybe they're not even going to run their junior lifeguard program because they don't have staffing to handle it. So we'll see what happens there. We're still reaching out to see who's out there and interested, so if you're out there and you are interested in the lifeguard job, either come to the City of Morro Bay or County San Luis Obispo and either Harbor Department or the Recreation Department for the junior lifeguards. And we'll see where that goes.
Eric, excuse me, but who runs the Cayucas Lifeguard?
It's the County of San Luis Obispo.
Parks and Rec?
Yeah, Recreation Parks or Parks and Rec or whatever they are, yeah. Yep. Monday the 21st, we had an all-hands CPR refresher put on by our own Coast Guard Station, Morro Bay personnel. I want to thank them for that. It's great that they have folks there that can do that. Instead of us having to go seek it with Red Cross or American Heart, it's great that we can do it right here in-house. Recent city council activity, have quite a bit of things to report on here. At the March 8th meeting, city council presented proclamations of recognition and appreciation for Congresswoman Lois Capps, who was able to attend in person, and to Joshua Quigley of Senator Barbara Boxer's office, both of whom are retiring at the end of this Congress. Congresswoman Capps has served for 18 years as our representative, and Senator Boxer has served for 24 years for the state of California as a senator. Both have been great supporters of Morro Bay and its dredging and the Corps of Engineers, which is, as you know, the key thing we go back to Washington, D.C. for and go visit all those folks. So we wish them well in their retirement. Also, at the March 8th meeting, City Council went over via staff report and a little discussion on CMANC and the Washington Week proceedings, went over past agendas and what we're planning on doing in the upcoming agenda. I'll report on that as we get it. I'll just report on it now. CMANC, Washington Week, myself, the mayor, Jamie Irons and City Manager Dave Buckingham on the week of March 14th went out to Washington, D.C., visited all regulators, Corps of Engineers, EPA, met with senators, actually were able to meet in person with Senator Boxer, Senator Feinstein's office, Congresswoman Capps. We generally meet the day before on Tuesday of that week. Myself, the mayor, and city manager went personally, kind of door-to-door to these different agencies and the Corps of Engineers and to give them our personal message. And then the rest of the 2 days, 2.5 days, we go with the greater CMANC group and kind of go en masse to the different offices. And that's where we met with Senator Boxer. And Congresswoman Capps. And so good meetings. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get anybody either on our personal meetings or with CMANC from NOAA, whether that be NOAA Fisheries or Sanctuaries. We did try awful hard through our lobbyists to try and get some meetings, but they're all spread across the country. It's their time where they go and go to different seminars and other things, conferences and whatnot. So, you know, the key folks that we really wanted to go see in NOAA Fisheries and NOAA Sanctuaries went around, so we weren't able to meet with any NOAA folks, which was kind of disappointing, but we'll try again next year. And then met with OMB as well, Office of Management of the Budget. Interesting folks there. The buck really does stop there. Everybody, you know, like all the different government agencies, you know, put in all their wish lists for their budgets, and it all goes to OMB, and OMB is really the filter or the funnel or maybe even the bottleneck to the president to get the numbers to the president's budget to what eventually goes to Congress and Senate. It's pretty interesting, the folks there, I guess the amount of control they have over the budget and in terms of letting things through or not. So the key to the core of engineers funding really goes through OMB, so we're starting to concentrate CMANC as a group more on OMB and educating those folks on how the money's needed and the priorities there. Back to the City Council. At March 8th, also, the Council considered the Harbor Advisory Board's December recommendation on considering RRM Option A, the design group Option A for the Boatyard Triangle Lot property as the preferred site plan in which to conduct the financial feasibility study, further financial feasibility study. And authorize us to expend up to $50,000 on that analysis. As Terry Simons, he was present at that meeting as well, I believe, and made some comments that he's working with folks down south. The boatyard operators are potentially interested in running a boatyard here. So I think internally we're taking a little bit of a pause on hiring out for that financial feasibility to kind of work with the ad hoc committee and work with Terry and see where that may go and see if there is another opportunity for if private really wants to come in and do this. Obviously, that's kind of jump-starts the process, or at least is another avenue to pursue. So we're going to see where that goes before we jump out to go seek consultancy to do any more financial feasibility. And we'll see where that goes. Appreciate your help on that. March 22nd meeting with the City Council. The Council withdrew its consent of landowner approval, which was for lease site 8686W, which is Burt Caldwell and the Embarcadero Grill at the Libertine Pub, if you frequent the drinking side rather than the eating side of that lease site. He had previously proposed a complete tear down and remodel of that lease site. He came back with a different proposal to kind of tear down the front half and leave the oceanside half up and rebuild and remodel the site with restaurant and pub downstairs and hotel rooms upstairs. And so the City Council withdrew the original consent of landowner and issued a new one for his new plan. And the consent of landowner basically is a first-run look by the council at a project in very general and broad terms in terms of just sort of scale and concept and whatnot, and okay, go ahead and apply to community development folks for the full planning and permitting process. So that's what Mr. Caldwell will be doing here shortly is getting that project going again. And finally, on the 22nd of March, the City Council held the 10-year budget forecast special meeting with management partners, one of their partners, Bob Leland. As you know, management partners is a group that has done a couple of studies for the city, recommending ways for the city to improve operations, operate more efficiently, attract more revenue, bunches of different recommendations across the board. Mr. Leland is sort of their financial arm where he does budget and financial forecasting. Last year, he did a 10-year budget forecast for the general fund. He did not do anything for the Harbor Fund. This year, he plugged in the same sort of model for the Harbor Fund, and it spelled out, no surprise, at least with the capital needs that we know we have and we've projected out over the next 10 years, we're pretty upside down in terms of financing. As you know, we're in the black right now. Our operating budget is balanced, but just barely. But as soon as you throw all the capital needs on, and what we really need to do for, you know, vehicles, vessels, piers, slips, and everything else, we don't have the funding to support all that. So that's really going to be our big challenge in the next 1 to 10 years is increasing revenues. We'll talk about that later on our agenda item on work plan stuff. But it was an interesting forecast tool he's got. It's an Excel program that looks at different financial forecasting assumptions and tools and CPIs and whatnot, and looks at the different revenue and expense lines and projects them out in the future. So if anybody wants to come have a closer look at the Harbor Fund and has us plugged into that, I'm welcome to come to my office. I can have a look at that. CMANC we covered. Commercial Dungeness crab season. Jeremiah, you announced that. Good news, bad news. Bad news is by now most of the guys are usually done and kind of wrapping it up and coming home. So now they're just starting. So we wish them luck, and hopefully the fishery remains open and they get good catches. On April 1st was the recreational rockfish opener, and I believe the recreational salmon opener as well. So haven't really heard any salmon reports yet. But rockfish, as expected, are doing pretty good, and lots of lingcod getting caught. So folks are starting to get out there. Winter's not over, so beware. We've still got some big swells coming here and there and some weather coming, so folks just make sure you check the weather. Get on the notify me thing, as I spoke earlier, and watch out with spring coming. We'll see what we have for fog this year. But last year and last summer was not too bad, but we've had a few pretty northwest windy days, so folks need to be aware of that. On March 21st, we demolished four vessels that had gone derelict in various locations throughout the harbor. Typically, they end up on our pier as kind of our last chance place for those kind of folks. Most of them are small sailboats. I think we had one boat that was turned in under the vessel turn-in program. Total of $10,000 to demolish those. All that came from grant funding from the state of California, which is great. We're applying for another grant from the state for this coming fiscal year for $15,000. We've got a few thousand dollars left in the existing grant, so the state's been gracious enough to keep granting us money, and we keep demolishing old and derelict boats that need to go away, so it's a good program. Friends of the Harbor Department has announced next movie night will be November 5th. We encourage folks to go to the Friends of the Morro Bay Harbor Department website to keep track of that. I know Bill is in our office today talking to Becca Kelly, kind of trying to plot and plan that out and figure out what they're going to do and how they're going to do it, so that'll be coming up again this fall. Hopefully, we have great weather again and some good movies. Effective January 1st, 2016, a new life jacket law came into effect that says all children under the age of 13 must wear a life jacket or personal flotation device, PFD, on all power and sailboats of all size, excluding passenger carrying for hire type vessels. Previously, it was children under 13 were only required to wear a PWC on vessels 26 feet or longer while underway, unless the child was in an enclosed cabin. Obviously, if you're in a boat with an enclosed cabin, you didn't necessarily have to wear a life jacket. So now on any boat of any size, children under 13 have to have a life jacket on. And upcoming events, Marine Wildlife Awareness Workshop, March 23rd at the Morro Bay Natural History Museum, being put on by State Parks from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. And Joint City Council, for you folks, Joint City Council Harbor Advisory Board meeting next week, April 12th, 4 p.m., to go over the goals, the 2016-17 goals and objectives, work plans that I've developed. That's our main agenda item tonight, item C5, so I'm not going to belabor that point. We'll get to that one later. But remember, that's April 12th at 4 p.m. And then last but not least, and not written on your agenda, but scratched in my paper here, the city manager is working on a program to start having on the fourth Thursdays of every month sort of town hall meetings with different sectors of the society, business and citizen sectors of the society, of the community. The first one's tentatively scheduled for April 28th from 8 to 10 in the morning, and it's going to be with all our waterfront leaseholders, master leaseholders and sublessees, and any folks that want to come down that have an interest in the waterfront and leases. Yet to be determined exactly where we're going to have it. I've got a couple ideas that I'll be looking around for it, but we'll be sure to put that on the city's website and Facebook and whatnot. But April 28th from 8 to 10, look for the leaseholders. Another group will be hoteliers, restaurateurs, other citizens groups. Again, every Thursday, fourth Thursday of every month, the city manager, it'll be kind of a no-agenda meeting. The beginning will be a quick sort of informational put on by the city manager and the related staff that are in attendance, and then open up pretty much just a free-form Q&A. So just another way the city is reaching out to the community to try and get information out and get information back.
Eric, will you send out a notice to the, or have Polly to the Harbor Advisory Board members on that date and where?
Yes, please. On April 28th meeting? Yeah.
Please.
And that concludes my report. Okay.
Eric, thank you. Is there any questions for Eric or any comments? Gene?
Yeah, just a quick comment. It looks like they've poured the base for the Fisherman's Memorial statue out by Target Rock, and I encourage anybody who hasn't supported that endeavor to contact them.
And that would be the Women's Fisheries, right?
Yeah, Women for Fishery. For Those Who Wait is the official name of this statue. So, yeah, it'll be out there at Target Rock. I'm glad you mentioned that, Gene. Thank you.
Thank you, Gene. Okay, so we'll go on to our...
Excuse me.
Oh, Ron, I'm sorry. Or Dana.
Well, I had some questions regarding the timeline and the developing of the RFP, but you kind of answered that as far as we're just going to be working together with the ad hoc on that. Okay.
Yeah, for the boatyard RFP or financial feasibility RFP, the plan was to work with the ad hoc committee and to develop, sort of what we want to see out of that RFP.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to make sure that keeps moving on. And then you were talking about the grant money for the vessel demo. So last year, I know we had a lot of grants from the National Estuary Program for that. Was it a different variety of grants that came for all the vessels? I think there were a dozen vessels that were destroyed.
Well, we get two sets of grants we access for getting these boats taken care of. One is California Department or Division of Boating and Waterways through their what's called the AWAF, the Abandoned Watercraft Abatement Fund, and VTIP, the Vessel Turn-In Program. Now they've combined them into one master grant called SAVE, which I won't even try to get what that acronym is at this point. But that's for state-registered vessels primarily. It can be documented vessels, but it's for recreational vessels only. Okay. NEP, through their mini-grant program and also through the grant that we got about a $60,000 grant from them several years ago, mainly for pollution control type materials, and we purchased a large stockpile of items and equipment, have used some of it over the years and pulled out of that grant to replenish those, but we've also had excess excess monies in that account that we foresaw that would probably take a decade or more to spend down on those types of materials. So we went to the NEP to modify that grant to allow us to demo some of the larger commercial fishing boats that we've had that the state grants won't allow us to do. So that's where the NEP has come in with that grant funding.
Very good. Thank you.
And I want to add one more thing, city council-wise, that I didn't get onto here. Next week, city council has on its agenda consideration of the Harbor Advisory Board recommendation for the city to host or sponsor or promote additional marine sanctuary community forums. So they'll be considering whether or not they're going to back that or host those or direct staff to work on any of that sort of thing. Pretty long agenda next week, so we'll see what time it goes, but that's on the agenda for next week for Tuesday.
And then the only other thing that I wanted to ask, Eric, which goes to procedural-wise, is that we made a recommendation, or I did, as the chair, for the relief of the crab slips relief for 3 months, and then also for the action plan of the city council on the restroom facilities here. Have you talked to anyone at City Hall, the mayor or the city manager, on their response, or are we going to get a response?
Well, I'm going to take the opportunity to give a little information, and as you know, we went back and forth on this a little bit earlier this week, or maybe it was last week. Process-wise, how it works, and as the city council's adopted sort of a work plan process for the advisory bodies and how it wants to use the advisory bodies in their capacity to achieve the city council's goals and objectives, which, again, is the main thing on the agenda later tonight. So two routes that Harbor Advisory Board recommended things get to the City Council. The first route is the route tonight, which is basically the work plans for goals and objectives and things that the City Council, let's say they have a meeting and about the color of the sky, and they want the Harbor Advisory Board to come in and weigh in on what the color of the sky is. So they'll go to the Harbor Advisory Board through staff and say, run this through the Harbor Advisory Board. Work plans is the other thing we're running through, which is work plans for our goals and objectives, the things that we're proposing to achieve the City Council's adopted goals for the upcoming year. That's the primary route for the council. So the council directs the work plans, and the council directs other things that it wants to see the Harbor Advisory Board do. Master fee schedule last year was something that came from the City Council kind of down to the Harbor Advisory Board. We considered it, sent a recommendation back. That goes through staff. That goes through me. So these things, the work plan stuff, I'll be getting that back to the city manager and city council, and then it eventually gets on the city council's work plan stuff. You're going to be doing this again next week at the council meeting, the joint meeting, next Tuesday. Fortunately, we'll have gone through most of it tonight, and hopefully we'll have gotten through it all, and you'll have made whatever recommendations we're going to make, and we'll have sort of already done a lot of the work next week that we're on the work plans that the city council wants to do with you, because we've got a pretty short time next week. So that's the first method. The second method is items of interest at the Harbor Advisory Board, and this is all in the bylaws and in the City Council Policies and Procedures Manual. Items of other interest that the Harbor Advisory Board wishes to weigh in on. Sanctuary, crab relief, restrooms, all those other things that kind of come from the Harbor Advisory Board up to the council. Those things, if the Harbor Advisory Board makes a recommendation, let's use the crab relief, for example. Harbor Advisory Board recommended giving some slip fee relief or pier fee relief, fee relief to our commercial crab fishermen for the crab disaster, and voted on a recommendation and passed a recommendation. That goes, the route to get to the council is the chairman of the Harbor Advisory Board basically takes whatever the recommendation was and writes a memo or letter or short report to the city council and provides it to the city council, and then it's up to the city council. Could be our liaison, or it could be any other council member that's got an interest in whatever the item is at the time when the council comes to future agenda setting. So they'll have, whatever the recommendation is in their hands, and if one of them wants to bring it up and say, okay, we've got this crab relief declaration of future agenda at the end of their meeting, we've got a recommendation for the Harbor Advisory Board for crab relief. Does anybody support that? And if they get support from more council folks, one or more council folks supports it, then it'll go on to a future agenda as determined by the city manager and the mayor as they go through their agenda setting process. If it doesn't get any support, if only one person, if Matt brings something up and nobody else on the council supports it, it doesn't go anywhere.
So what I did in the last two is I sent it to Matt Arliason, and he received it. Probably wasn't as speedy as I could have, but I wasn't realize that was what I needed to do. And then I guess the next question is, Matt going to get back to me via email or through maybe a little session here at the Harbor Advisory Board meeting on the updates? How would we want to work that? That the communication is such that I don't have to.
Well, I think the best way for it to probably most logically work is you make sure through me and through you that we not only send it to Matt, we send it to the whole council, mayor, council, and probably city manager to make sure that it's in all their hands, they're all aware of it. Then it's incumbent upon them to bring it up as a future agenda item. If the recommendation has been made, like I said, it takes a city council person, it doesn't necessarily have to be Matt, it's got to be any of them, to say, hey, I want to bring this forward as a future agenda item and consider this Harbor Advisory Board recommendation. If they've got support, great, you're hitting down the road. If not, if none of them bring it up under consideration, if none of them want to support it, then it's in the same boat. It goes nowhere. Okay. The two that you're talking about, sorry, Ron, the crab relief and the restroom, their council has them in their hands. We'll see what comes in the next future agenda setting or two and see if they're brought up.
The restroom.
Yeah, restroom is in goals and objectives.
Yeah. Ron?
I need a clarification. It was my most recent understanding that when the Harbor Advisory Board enacted a recommendation for the, let's call it the council direct track as opposed to the staff track, that recommendation was sent to the city manager and the mayor. What you just described was that it gets sent to the city council members. So I just need a clarification, please.
My druthers would be it goes to everybody on council. Matt will, he's our liaison to the council, and he will bring things back and forth as well as he sees fit. But in terms of getting it to the council, I think the most effective way is that through our chairman, when he writes his memo or letter or whatever it's going to be, that it's copied to all the council members so they're all aware of it.
Gene?
Miss Matt, I don't know if Matt wants to.
I'm just a little disappointed.
Different.
We could have an issue that we think is very important, and maybe the council members think that they're too busy or that it's not interesting to them, and it just goes nowhere, and that concerns me.
I think the concern that I have, to be honest with you, I mean, this, I don't mind doing it. I am busy. I do have a job to do, and I wasn't aware that the chair was the one that, you know, we sat here last week, and through the last 5 years I've been on the Harbor Advisory Board, we kind of say, okay, this is important, this is our recommendation, and we had Eric, as being our staff, Eliason, present it to the council. I thought that that was a good way of doing it, but apparently not, and I am a little disappointed too.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was the sort of the method too, and as we emailed back and forth, it was my assumption as a liaison, Matt or Carla before that, the liaison would bring all those things forward. Well, it's not their duty to bring those things forward. It's in the it's incumbent upon the chair, really. If you read the council and policies and procedures, it says by submitting a written request to the council approved by the majority of the advisory body. So to the council to me means all five of them.
All right.
To make sure they're all aware of it. That way, if
no, I mean I'm
chairman.
Yes, Ron.
So we've all read 1.2.3 that you were just citing, and that's well and good, and certainly we operate at the pleasure of, and the direction of the council. But to expand just for a moment on Gene's point and Bill's second to the point, it's a matter of mutual respect. If this body or any of the advisory, I don't care about the other advisory bodies, if this advisory body is going to act in a responsible and respectful manner to support the council and the city and its goals and its pursuit of the what's good for the city and what's good for the community and its citizens, then it seems only reasonable that the reciprocal respect would be given to put some kind of a process in place where the body, through the chair, however it's done, however administration, city administration decides to do it, where there's a process put in place that is extremely clear and timely to provide feedback. And I don't mean waiting from 1 month meeting to the next month meeting, because I think Gene's point's very well taken. We deliberate, we occasionally determine, this body occasionally determines that there is something, there's something pressing, something the city and the council needs to be very, very aware of and potentially take action on for the good of the city and the citizens. So we're missing the reciprocal, to my knowledge, we're missing the reciprocal process.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, thank you. Yeah, Neil.
Clarification. So just for clarification's sake, is it safe to say that our normal way of going about coming up with future agenda items, whether it be from a response from a presentation or something that we see fit, once that issue gets brought up and we support it as a future agenda item, then that agenda item would only get looked at if it was on the city's
no
objectives?
No, we as a body can, and I'm going to be careful, we can't get too much discussion here because we're not agendized this, although it's part and parcel to the goals and objectives in the work plan process, because we're trying to explain how this work plan process works. You can bring matters to your own attention, future agendaism. If you get support within the body, we'll consider them and put them on the agenda and staff report them and do all that same stuff. No, it's just if you make a recommendation, we're talking about the process of how that recommendation gets to the City Council. So, no, it doesn't take the City Council approval for you to future agendize something.
So I got that part, but then once we make that recommendation, that's what my concern is. Will it only be listened to if it aligns with the list of goals that have been set out for us? Meaning, do we have any creativity in our ability to put items on their desk that they'll be required to look at, or is it only if it lines
up? You can put anything, the Harbor Advisory Board can put anything it wants on the City Council's desk. That doesn't mean the City Council is going to pick it up and do anything with it. Hopefully they do, but they're not obligated to.
Okay. Okay, so we're going to leave this subject and go over to first business item, C1, update from the Marine Services Facility Boatyard Ad Hoc Committee. Dana as the chair, and anyone else in the audience that wants to pipe in on this? Dana?
Okay, thank you, Chair. Last Thursday, we had a meeting, the ad hoc committee for the marine facilities. It was the first meeting that we had our new director from the National Estuary Program with us. Lexi Bell was there. So that was really good, you know, to have her aboard. We had a lot of discussions about the recent activity by the council. Luckily, in your agenda here came out the actual action, because I couldn't find it because it hasn't been approved yet in the minutes for the next meeting, with the council meeting. So we discussed that, and we talked about how we wanted to see that move forward. Even though Mr. Simons came forward that night also and spoke about interest, private company interest that he may be or that he is representing, and their possible plan. And we thought, well, you know, that's great, but at the same time, we need to continue with our process here. So that's where we wound up in agreement with, and then it was just a matter of how do we proceed with that. And obviously, there's a lot going on with this issue. We're going to talk about it later on in C5 also, when we go through everything there. I would like to give the opportunity for Mr. Simmons, since he's here, to speak on who and what and everything about what he's got to offer here.
Okay, Terry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You could state your name again for
sure.
The record.
My name is Terry Simons, county resident. Hope to be retiring to Morro Bay in the next few years. I spend a lot of time here now. I've been following the marine situation in Morro Bay for the last 30 years or so. I'm an avid sailor and boater, have several boats in Morro Bay, several slips leased in Morro Bay. And I've followed the need for a boat haul-out facility, especially germane. I just bought a 38-foot boat in Marina del Rey many months ago after scouring the entire West Coast trying to find a boat to buy, and consequently doing numerous haul-outs for hull inspections and all these kinds of things. I spent a lot of time in a lot of boat yards having boats hauled and inspected and these sorts of things, and became painfully aware of the fact that Morro Bay is very deficient in having these kind of basic marine services. And I think that I understand that there's a lot of obvious reasons to have a haul-out facility and a boatyard, but there are other more subtle reasons. For instance, it's very difficult to buy and sell a boat in Morro Bay because you don't have an easy way to do a marine inspection, to haul a boat out. We have one antiquated boat hauling facility. You have the opportunity to take a boat to Port San Luis if you can ever get on the list to be hauled down there. Hauling at Port San Luis is problematic, as I'm sure you all know. One of your members is stuck down there waiting for all the signs in the world to align so she can be hauled out. I'm assuming that's been the problem. Morro Bay is historically a wonderful safe refuge for boats transiting the coast and has historically been a place where boats could be provided basic marine services. And the lack of a modern haul out and yard is painfully obvious when you go up and down the coast and you see the incredible new haul out facilities that are being built all up and down the coast. And it's shocking, quite frankly, that those facilities don't exist here. I've spent tens of thousands of dollars in a boat yard in Channel Islands in Oxnard that I would have loved to have spent here. I could have saved money had I been able to spend it here because it would have been much easier for me to facilitate getting work done on the boat because it would be local to my community. These are subtle things, but in working with the various boat yards trying to find a place to get work done on my boat, I suddenly realized, hey, this is quite a viable business, even at the scale that Morro Bay offers, because there's so much transient boat activity. You never know when a boat's going to break down. You never know when you're going to be towing it in and need to be hauled out. Boats can't be towed in here for haul out because there's no haul out facility. Repowering is a tremendous business in lots of areas and spawns a huge series of other businesses, subcontractors, and merchandising. Engine sales alone would probably double or triple in this area if there was a vital repowering industry. And I think that when people think that haul-outs are just haul a boat out, scrape it, and paint it, and put it back in the water, a haul-out is an opportunity to do everything below the waterline. And I'm sure most of you have boats. I'm sure most of you are familiar with what's involved once you get a boat out of the water. You basically are opening your wallet, and if it's not close at hand, you are relying on people at a substantial distance who you may or may not have the working relationship that you'd like to have to do the haul out and to do the work and to supervise and observe and make recommendations for you. And I think that there is a very substantial commercial fishing industry here. There's a substantial recreational boating industry here. A lot of boats, Morro Bay is a place where old boats come to die, as witnessed by the tens of thousands of dollars that need to be spent to destroy old boats. A lot of those old boats die because they simply are not able to be maintained because it's not easy to haul them out and work on them. So I think that aside from helping with that whole segment of the boating industry, having a haul out is not just for hauling out, painting the bottom and going. I think it will provide tremendous benefits across the board. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here because obviously you're very supportive of the whole idea of getting the facility. So the question is, how do you get a facility? I've been working in the development industry in various levels for almost 50 years. I've gotten a lot of projects done. I've developed a lot of projects. I've built projects. I've spent years and years doing public works projects. I've done projects in the city of Morro Bay for the city and for private sector. I love working in Morro Bay. It's a great community. It's a supportive community. I'd love to help take this project on from the private sector side because private sectors bring a whole different perspective to getting stuff done. When you're working inside the government bureaucracy, you're handicapped, as the frustration of the chair and other members experience, in just the internal communications. How do you get something that you want to get done in front of the council, and how do you get them to take action on it? It's very cumbersome. When I want to get something done in the private sector, I get on the phone, I say, hey, I need this done. I get a price, somebody comes out, it gets done. The public-private partnership that I'm hoping that we can develop will help get this thing done. And following the history of Morro Bay's attempts in the past to get the haul-out and marine service facility done, the one thing that's conspicuous, at least to me, is there was never a private sector partner involved in helping this happen. I spent some time with Dana today on the phone talking about some of the little nuances involved in public finance versus private finance, the advantages of depreciable assets, for instance, to a private company. Cities and government can't take the benefits, the tax benefits that accrue to a private contractor of the depreciable assets. Like you spend several hundred thousand dollars for a big crane and stuff like that. It depreciates whether you get any benefit for it or not. If the city owns it, they get nothing but rust. If the private developer owns it, he gets substantial tax benefits, and it helps propel his ability to do business. Those are just a few things. Hearing how your organization is structured, what I would propose, and I've already started this without your consent as a board, but I would propose that your board consider that I should be directed to work with Dana and his ad hoc subcommittee, and I'm willing to spend my time and energy with his subcommittee to get down to the details involved, help get a specific proposal of what we could do and how we should do it. I think ultimately that'll be beneficial even if the people that I'm working with don't come forward, because I think it will help you structure your RFP for financial analysis. I think it will eventually help refine the concept plan, and recognizing that RRM did a nice job in terms of a concept plan, but there's a lot of refinement that needs to be done there. And I have the experience, the history, and the time, and the energy, and the personal motivation. My next haul out's in 5 years. I want to see a haul out facility here to do that haul out. I don't want to have to take a boat 22 hours downhill to get it hauled out and then pay an out-of-town contractor a bunch of money to have it done. I'd rather support a head of household job, a subcontractor, a marine services store here in Morro Bay with the money that I spend. And I think that I'm just a small person. I've got a couple of small boats. The commercial fishing industry, not only do they spend a lot of money, but their livelihood depends on it. Me, it's a recreational event. When a commercial fisherman's boat needs service and repair, it needs it now because the season's short, season starts. You're either out there fishing bad enough, you have to wait for weather and for all the fishing season constraints that the various regulatory agencies put forth. But if your boat needs a repower or needs a prop shaft repair or some sort of through-hull repair, and you don't have a way to do that readily at hand, it costs you a lot of money. So the commercial fishing community is one of the biggest beneficiaries of the a local haul-out facility. So I guess the fundamental bottom line for my presentation here is I'd like this commission to basically give consent to your ad hoc committee to continue investigating with me the possibilities of forming this public-private partnership that I'm talking about and see what we can do. I do not want to derail the city's forward motion in doing a financial analysis and stuff, but I think we all know that financial analyses by economists and professors and these kinds of things are just that. They're theoretical analysis. What I'm trying to bring to the table is somebody who's ready to put down hard money, sign a lease, move forward with a project, and get something built. And I think that if we can shorten the time period, save money on the front end, and get someone in this public-private partnership on board early, some of the decisions that might be theoretical, one of the ones we talked about is do you go with a 75-ton lift or a 100-ton lift? My people just spent $1 million and replaced a whole bunch of their systems to make it possible for them to install 100-ton lifts, because the reality is 100-ton lift is safer, gives you access to bigger boats. I mean, I can go on and on, and I'm probably burning up your time, but I know this is an important item, and I guess if you can let me work with your ad hoc committee, dedicate some time of theirs, I think we'll bear fruit, and if we don't, keep on track with your other program, and no harm, no foul.
Thank you, Terry. No, I don't have any questions. I think the one question I have for you, Dana, is when we formed this subcommittee, there was anyone could be on it. I mean, I don't see any reason why Terry can't be on the subcommittee. Now, whether or not you go forward regarding using...
Well, if I could address that, I'm not making a pitch to be on the subcommittee. That would be a blatant conflict of interest from my perspective. I represent the private sector in this. I want to work with your subcommittee, but not under the auspices of the city. Right. I think that would be unacceptable from for a lot of reasons. I would like your body's approval that your subcommittee be allowed to dedicate some of their time and energy into working with me. I'm putting up forth my time and energy at no cost to the city in the hopes of building this public-private relationship, because that's the way this will get done. I'm convinced of it.
Do we have any questions for Terry? Joe? Gene?
I would think our ad hoc committee has to make a proposal to us for a recommendation. That's how I see it.
Neil?
Yeah, I was under the impression ad hoc committees could have advisors as they so choose. And I don't see how we need to intervene in that. And that would be, I guess, your decision. And then, like Gene said, the recommendation when you do that come from you guys based on your interactions with whoever you've gotten advice from.
Well, yeah, that's kind of the same thinking that I had as far as we're just reaching out to anybody that has information that can help us put this together.
Data's data.
Yeah, exactly, no matter where we get it.
Well, I think what Terry's, and if I could just in so many words sum up your presentation here, he's asking us to have him provide a shovel-ready project with potential investors and so forth and so on, and to give you that information as a subcommittee. Would that be what you would be willing to do or want to do?
I think that's definitely where
we're
working.
So it'd be sole source, basically.
Yes, exactly. To put it in the context of public policies for private sector contracts, yeah, it'd be a sole source contract is where we're basically headed. We would help you write the RFP that would eventually become a public's opportunity to bid on or to contract for the leasehold and or facilities and or provide equipment necessary to manifest this vision. The problem is it's just a vision right now. Nobody really knows what's the city's role, what's the private contractor's role, what's the lease look like. Would we be involved in the boat storage yard and also in the boat repair facility? Yeah. Would we have a relationship with the museum? All these kinds of questions. I come with more questions, unfortunately, than I have answers. But
yeah. Okay. I would just like to say I don't think that's something that we can talk about right now.
Right.
It's something that the ad hoc committee can discuss later. First of all, I think it's just a matter of, like, if I'm having a conversation with Terry about this and I'm gathering information for my ad hoc committee, I don't think that's a problem. I don't think I need approval for that. And on the other hand, anybody can come to the city with a proposal for a boatyard. And, you know, Terry can too. He's looking for information from us at the same time that we're having a conversation, so he can bring to his client. They can make a proposal. That's open to anybody. So right now, we're just trying to keep it clean like that. I don't see that we need to do a sole contract with anybody right now.
No, I'm not attempting to do that. I just wanted to put it in perspective. Is if you decided to go down that route, that's what it would be, could be.
So the ad hoc committee can consult with whoever they want.
Right.
I mean, it's
right.
No different than talking to Damon Holtz from Santa Barbara Boatyard that we've done right. in the past, and just right. reaching out, seeking information.
Right. Thank you, Terry. Mm-hmm. So do we have any other comments from the public on this subject?
Yeah, Richard Sadowski, citizen of Morro Bay. I'm also on the Morro Bay Planning Commission. And one of the things that the Planning Commission's been directed by the City Council is the GPLCP update. And it would behoove anybody trying to do anything in that area to at least contact the community development director or planning department, Scott Graham, and maybe get a presentation. There's a one of the council people or one of the commissioners, Commissioner Luer, was asking about, is continually asking about the boatyard status. And I would highly suggest that you or anybody make a presentation to the Planning Commission with regards to that, because we are in the process of getting an update. And then also with regards to this, it's in conjunction with a grant for sea level rise that we got from the Ocean Protection Council. And those of you who aren't familiar with the Ocean Protection Council, the city received about $250,000 of a grant funding for that. And this might be something that you might look at. I've been attending Ocean Protection Council meetings since Governor Schwarzenegger created the council in back in 2004. So it's something that I would really not only work with the ad hoc here at HAB, but also it's going to be necessary to be working with the Planning Commission as well.
If I can add, Richard makes a good point, and I think you know, the city's hired a consultant to help steer and create that whole GPLCP update, and looking at all the city's open areas as part of the part of that update in the Northern Waterfront Improvement Plan, and kind of relooking at the Northern Waterfront, and that will be looking at that triangle lot. Obviously, if these efforts continue to move forward, looking at that triangle lot, if that's where it ends up going, would have to be, should be something that would get incorporated into that GPLCP plan update in terms of, it's, you know, if that's truly the way the city wants to go, then we put that into the update that, yeah, this is where we envision a boatyard being. That process is what, Richard, maybe a year long for putting that whole process together, a year and a half? It's going to take a while.
Okay.
Yeah, we actually have spoken to Scott Graham and kind of gave him some background. And then, of course, you know, we have meetings too. It's kind of funny that Planning Commission, Harbor Advisory Board, and I've seen this and going, how can we be part of that? And we'd be happy to make a presentation at your one of your meetings.
Okay. Yes. Your name again?
Yeah, Marla Jo Breton Sadowski, North Morro Bay. I'd like to kindly suggest, I don't know, did all of you, did the city have you go to one of the Brown Act trainings? Did you guys go to that?
Yeah.
Okay, because what I'm, just from the, I go to a lot of meetings, a lot.
Excuse me, is this on the subject of the boat haul-out facility?
Well, in a way, because your ad hoc, the discussion about the ad hoc committee, the discussion about how to get your, when the Harbor Advisory Board has their own project that they think is important, and the fact that it needs to come from you and to all the people, that's basic Brown Act stuff. Okay. And it's the way that we're supposed to do business for transparency and democracy. And it is different than private sector business. You know, because we're doing the public's business.
That's why these ad hoc committee reports, excuse me, Chairman, that's why these ad hoc committee reports are part of the regular agenda?
Yeah, they are part of the regular agenda. What I'm saying is that I don't, when a body sets up an ad hoc committee, you have your committee members, unless the Morro Bay City Council has told you, or they want to do an advisory board, another advisory board, you guys can't make your own. You know, you have the people on there. You can work and talk to anybody you want, but they're not. Eric, can you help me out here? Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I'll try. I think the ad hoc committee isn't the decision-making body.
Right.
And it's doing things, I guess, not publicly because it's a committee, and it's going out and reaching out to different people and doing different things and maybe making some decisions and coming to some recommendations. But ultimately, it has to go to the Harbor Advisory Board
right. For
any kind of action to occur.
Right.
Is that what you're trying to get at? So I don't think the ad hoc committee, I don't think the intent or maybe it was misconstrued or misunderstood. I don't think there was any intention of the ad hoc committee to be out there making decisions outside of the greater Harbor Advisory Board public forum.
Yeah.
Is that what you're concerned about?
No, not really, because I know that you are doing it. You bring it back here for discussion. It's on the agenda. I'm just the mere fact that I think maybe it was just a misspeak or something of it. Somebody said that we can have as many ad hoc committee members on our ad hoc committee as we want. You have to let the public know who your people are on your ad hoc committee. That's all, that's basically, do you understand what I'm, and maybe I misunderstood, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay, thank you. Okay, anyone else on the marine facilities boatyard haul out? Any other discussion? If not, then Dana, you'll be working with whoever you guys want to work with and report back to us, correct? And I think that Richard did bring up an interesting point, and you know, you have your own slide presentation now, Dana, and maybe giving a presentation to the planning department, Richard. I mean, I don't know if you have future agenda items, if maybe you can bring that up and talk to Dana afterwards. I think Dana would be more than happy to have a presentation. He has a good slide presentation on what we've done for the last couple of years. Okay. B or C2, update from the Finance and Budget Ad Hoc Committee on committee's recent activities. Neil?
Thank you. We did not meet this since the last meeting. I was able to meet with Eric, and there were no updates to the budgetary planning process that were provided to us. And it was recommended that we wait till after C5 was presented, that it was going to contain quite a few topics for us to tackle as an ad hoc committee. I don't know if you have anything else to add to that, Eric, or other board members.
No, just that, correct, Neil, part of C5, some of the work plan, fiscal sustainability things. I've proposed a fair amount of ad hoc committee involvement in the budget process, both the from looking at potential future revenues to the capital list and everything else. So we'll get to that on C5, but we'll have some more stuff for the ad hoc to do here shortly.
Do we have any discussion on that? Anyone? Okay, hearing none, let's go to C3, which is the update from the Eelgrass Ad Hoc Committee. Since Lynn's not here, Gene, do you have anything to report on this?
I don't, but Neil does.
Okay, Neil?
just for information's sake, again, we did not meet this since the last meeting. But currently, I've been speaking with Senator Bill Monning's office, and they are proposing legislation currently, which actually speaks a little bit to the Sadowski's point about acidification and hypoxia. There, no, she's leaving. The act is it's been presented right now, and they're trying to move it into become legislation, but it actually is pro eelgrass and is setting up a fund to financially support projects that will increase the health of the bay, that will diminish ocean acidification and hypoxia, and could fund projects such as, I would just say, I might be stretching it, but eelgrass banking might be something. The language was shared with us. It hasn't been fully adopted yet. It's in the process. So I just wanted to give people an update to know that there is some language that's currently being created, and I'm not sure where it's available from the senator's office, but I can probably make this available for questions. They were wanting questions into them, yeah. So
now, is this specifically toward Morro Bay, or is it to all
California?
California, okay.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Just trying to. I could start reading, but it's quite lengthy. But it's pretty exciting as far as eelgrass restoration goes. It's very supportive of eelgrass habitat.
Is it in bill form now?
What's it?
Is it in bill form now?
Yeah, it's...
Does it have a number?
Senate Bill number 1363. And I'll read a little excerpt here. It says, the act creates the California Ocean Protection Trust Fund in the state treasury and authorizes monies deposited in the fund upon appropriation by legislature to be expended by the council for projects and activity authorized by the council consistent with the purpose of the act. So... What? There's going to be money available for projects, okay. And they decide where it goes. Legislatures decide where it goes. It'll be in the form of grants, and it can be within private companies as well as for research. So it'll support research and private, as long as it's supporting the act. I'll report more on that as it comes down the pipe.
Okay. Any other comments on this? Richard?
Richard Sadowski. I attended the January 26th Senate hearing on the ocean acidification and climate change that was hosted by Fran Pavley. And one of the, and I mentioned this as well, this is an issue that we actually had a discussion at the Planning Commission is that the burden that leaseholders are given, just an open-ended, basically, bill to deal with these eelgrass habitat and actual the effectiveness of it. And I brought up the fact that I feel that there is an opportunity, not only with this SB 1363, which you're talking about, but also recently the OPC, the Ocean Protection Council, had allotted using Prop 1 funding. Now, one of the things about eelgrass and one of the things that I've been, like, for years now, for, like, since AB 32 passed back in the day, one of the biggest carbon sequestration mediums is our estuary and our state marine reserve. And there is one of the things that the OPC and other agencies are looking at is interagency collaboration. So you can, you know, using eelgrass banking and collaborating with other agencies like, you know, looking beyond the NEP and the State Coastal Conservancy, but agencies like the Department of Fish and Wildlife and California Resources Agencies and you know, others that lacing it in to a greenhouse gas sequestration medium, then you can get Prop 1 funding and then do a collaboration. Now, the big problem of the science behind it is that there's science that's saying, oh, we don't know why the eelgrass won't grow in the Back Bay, but we have to hold polluters accountable. Like CMC, this is the second time they spilled into the State Marine Reserve. And that is a problem, and that is what's affecting a lot of why we can't do certain things. So if we address those issues, because, you know, before it was they were blaming leaky septic tanks or from Los Osos, but the big issue is the pollution. So if we can bring in and address the polluters, use those fines to piggy bank and springboard some projects that we can have with the eelgrass, this could be not only a relief for the leaseholders, but also a economic benefit not only for the harbor but for the city as well. So I would highly recommend that, you know, looking at that as Prop 1 funding as well and collaborating that way.
Thank you, Richard.
Hi, I'm Marla Jo Breton Sadowski, North Morro Bay. I just have a quick thing I put together. The domoic acid with the crabs, I talked about the red algal blooms. Another factor to the domoic acid is urea, and an off-gassing of urea is domoic acid as well. So that would be any kind of waste, like liquid waste, you know, I don't pee. Okay. So anyway, and that goes to the fact that we need to look at where the polluters are. And that's where it comes into onshore and offshore and why it's so important for us to have stormwater programs and programs like that. So thanks.
Okay. Do we have anything else to discuss on this? Thank you, Neil. C4, update from the Marine Sanctuaries Ad Hoc Committee on committee's recent activities. Ron?
The committee has prepared a fairly significant list of potential presenters at a hypothetical Marine Sanctuary Public Forum representing various sectors of the community and business and industry who have lived for a period of time with a marine sanctuary. What, insofar as its current activities is concerned, the committee is waiting for the City Council to address the matter that Eric pointed out is on their agenda and to see what the city's intentions are regarding additional marine sanctuary public information forums. And to repeat, because I've had people stop me in the street and ask, this has nothing to do, the activities of this committee has nothing to do with any particular sanctuary proposal or application. It's a generalized marine sanctuary information effort to acquaint folks with the good and the bad or the neutral. We don't care. We don't care what the which way it goes insofar as living with a marine sanctuary is concerned.
Do we have anybody in the audience that wants to address the marine sanctuary topic? Anyone from our committee? Oh, I'm sorry.
Marla Jo Breton, Sadowski, North Morro Bay. I'll just come out and say it. I am a supporter of the Chumash Heritage National Marine Sanctuary bid for designation. And I'm not alone. I may be the only person at this meeting, maybe the only person that's came to you and said what I'm saying right here, that I support a marine sanctuary designation. And part of the reason I do that is because of the ocean acidification, hypoxia, the acute state of health of our ocean. And one of the things that we can do is take a little bit of burden off the shoulders of you all. Obviously feel very responsible, and you're trying to help, you know. But I just, this is such a big crisis that no one body's going to be able to do it. And as far as bringing in money to do the programs that need to be done, as Richard was talking about, interagency collaboration and money. And the Marine Sanctuary does open up our, would open up Morro Bay, for instance. That's just one community here in the sanctuary area. But would open us up to more funding opportunities, big funding opportunities that we do not have now. And so, and the comment about that you're not opposed to any particular proposal. There is a particular proposal, and it's the Chumash Heritage National Marine Sanctuary. So just by leaving that out of your dialogue right there makes me think that maybe there is a reason. Are you aware of the heritage of the Chumash Indian Native Americans in California? Do you know that they were the only coastal Indian tribe in California that started a trade route up and down the California coast, and that they also Did Trans-Pacific, are you aware of this? Trans-Pacific into moles, canoes, all the way to Polynesia, and Polynesia here.
Okay, I appreciate that. I think that we are aware of certain things, and we know that you support it, and I thank you for your comment.
Okay.
Currently, the NOAA has, Richard Sadowski, currently NOAA has the Chumash Heritage National Marine Sanctuary on, moved it to the next level, and that's why it's bringing it attention. One of the things that has changed as well is the attempt to, AB 52, which brings in meaningful dialogue with the indigenous people. Now, several years ago, PG&E wanted to do some acoustic seismic testing right out here, and they brought in a boat. The boat just had come from Peru, and it was on its way over here to do blasting. A group was formed, a Coast Alliance was formed, and we were able to stop it. I was part of that. It was a grassroots effort, and that boat was never stopped anywhere in the world except right here. So doing a collaborative effort with fishermen, with activists, with everybody, you know, you could put labels on people, but at the end of the day, it's like it's a hard issue. Now, as far as the Chumash Sanctuary, one of the main things that was there to protect is the acoustic seismic blasting. Now, the data is clear. You know, it's clear. The enemies, you know, the fishermen, you know, your concerns are very similar to a lot of other people's concerns. Pollution, that affects fishing. The acoustic blasting, that affects fishing. The technologies used for finding the oil reserves underneath, you know, out here. And so I would, like, highly recommend you sit down with Fred Collins, the Northern Chumash Tribal Administrator, and have a meaningful dialogue with them, because that's what is being proposed.
Well, Richard, we have tried that, and to no avail.
Yeah, but what is being proposed here is a international.
No,
it's international. It's not just local. It goes. You know, like, we have support from the Polynesian Kingdom of Atui, which is the sovereign people in Kauai, and the Polynesians.
Right.
So the thing is it goes beyond the local.
Right. Well, what we're trying to do here is an advocacy and education forum, period. Whether it's for or against, that's what we... educational, actually. I'm sorry. So that's what we're trying to get done.
You know, well, you need to understand the Chumash heritage if you're going to have that.
Okay.
Be a meaningful discussion.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Matt.
Yeah. To talk about this item, that's going to be this item C3 on the April 12th agenda. And so, Bill, City Council, if you've looked at the packet, we do have your letter that you forwarded. But, Ron, what we don't have is that list that you mentioned. So in terms of any sort of minutiae, I'm looking at the packet today. And so it's what we've received in terms of that is pretty light. So if you do have any of these lists, the lists that you're talking about of these other groups to contact, that would be good to have for this council. So what we're going to be doing, or the item being recommended to us from you guys, is to consider additional outreach in these units. So those names and those contact numbers are going to be key to that. Okay? So just to let you know, and that's going to be on Tuesday night. Okay?
Thank you, Matt. Okay. To no ado, thank you, Ron. C5, please. Draft work plan for 2016-2017 City Council. Gold, Jeff Diggs, for the Harbor Advisory Board review, input, and recommendations. Eric?
Okay, here we go. So this is new for all of us, so bear with me. So as I explained earlier in the whole sort of City Council, the Harbor Advisory Board agenda-setting process and work plans and whatnot. This is the first year that we've put together these work plans for the upcoming 2016-2017 City Council goals and objectives. The City Council, a few meetings ago, set their objectives for their two-year goals, and you have the ones in front of you that are pertinent towards the Harbor Department. So back in December, the City Council adopted Resolution 7915, which sort of put this process in place, spelled out how it wants to direct the Harbor Advisory and other boards, advisory boards and bodies, in developing and improving work plans. So I developed these work plans based off of the objectives and my best first blush attempt at some means and methods to achieve the objectives. These are no way, shape, or form set in stone. These aren't absolutely what I'm recommending, the only thing we do. That's why we're bringing it to the Harbor Advisory Board. These are just a starting point, just a way to start the dialogue and begin discussion. We'll be taking good notes, and any sorts of recommendations as we go, we'll be taking. So, again, next week you're going to be meeting with the City Council on this very item. So hopefully we can get through all these, and you'll get a good jump start on that. A meeting's only like 45 minutes long, fairly short. So I think it's short, I think, in part because this is on the Harbor Advisory Board agenda tonight, so we can get through the meat of it. And then when you get to Council next week, it'll be a little quicker and just sort of produce these present this to the City Council. So we'll go through these item by item. So basically the way it's broken down, obviously the City Council's got 10 discrete goals. Not every single one of them has a harbor or ocean related element to them, so you're not going to see all of them on here. You're just going to see the ones that are germane to us. So goal number three, so I'll just break them down. Goal number three is review and update the significant city land use plans. Under each goal, there's anywhere from three or four to half a dozen or maybe even a dozen objectives that the city wants to achieve. Those are the lettered items underneath. So goal number three, E, is downtown waterfront strategic plan. So that's the adopted objective, is consider incorporating the downtown strategic waterfront plan into the general plan, local coastal plan process. Complete the downtown waterfront strategic plan part of the plan. And then below that, the WPE, that is my created work plan elements. Those are the elements that I came up with in order for us as a department and city to implement those goal objectives. So does all that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think probably best if we do this obviously goal by goal and objective by objective. What we're looking for is input. Recommended changes too. Looks great. Go with it. Terrible idea. Throw it out. Whatever your recommendation is, and those recommendations will go to the council, and then council will approve whatever they're going to approve. Take your recommendations into place, and if they approve sort of my work plan as presented and as approved by the Harbor Advisory Board, then those are the elements that are my marching orders to take forward and start working on. And then the final explanation is the Q2, Q3, Q1, those are the quarter in which I am proposing to work on those particular elements. Remember, it's quarter of the actual year, not quarter of the fiscal year. So the quarter of a fiscal year, the first quarter is actually going to be, you know, July, August, September. That's not what Q1 will be. This is Q1 of the actual calendar year. So, ready, set, go. So goal number three, review and update significant city land use plans, downtown waterfront strategic plan. We spoke about that a little bit earlier. The city's hired a consultant to work on that, a couple consultants to work on developing that. They're taking the old plans and updating them and taking new information from every department and department head. It's going to be going to Planning Commission. It'll probably be going to RPC. It's going up and down the advisory body list. So the one element that applies to us is a downtown waterfront strategic plan. Incorporate the downtown waterfront strategic plan in the general plan, local coastal plan process. The two elements that I identified or at least came up with, obviously provide staff input to consultants as required. Well, there's not much to be said about that. And then review and input on work products as required. So that work plan element two, WPE two, in my mind, that is once we get something from the consultants, they come up with a module, an element, or a paragraph on something Harvard-related, we run that through the Harvard Advisory Board and make recommendations and route that back to consultants. So that's my recommendations there. And then at some point we'll have to allow for public comment. So
right.
I guess maybe I'll go through my rundown, take initial board comments, and then see if there's any public comment.
So you want to go through the whole thing first, or you want to go?
I think we go one by one and knock them out each one.
So why don't we do this, is after you do one by one, 3E, if we have any questions, we can direct them toward you right then and there. Ron, do you have any questions? Just, I think.
What is the calendar development schedule for the DWSP?
I would probably put it more in context of the larger general plan, local coastal plan, and that's probably a year to 18-month process. So it'll be wrapped up into that. The recommendation is to complete that as part of the bigger general plan, local coastal plan process. So it's a year to a year and a half.
And where along that timeline do you see the HAB getting something to review?
It's flat out guess is going to be probably peppered in the entire process as they go through the elements of, because there's harbor. Although the harbor, obviously the waterfront, downtown waterfront strategic plan is its own discrete animal. Where and they're going to put that into the larger GP LCP process, I don't know at this time.
Is it not correct that the DWSP contains and considers economic issues as it relates to the waterfront and thereby to the enterprise zone?
Yes, I believe it will. Yeah, I haven't seen it because it hasn't been drafted and recreated. I mean, we've got a downtown strategic plan now and a waterfront strategic plan now. The proposal by the city is to combine those two into one and update them to modern times because they're probably 35 years old.
Thanks.
Yeah, so we're just talking process here. We're not giving you information of what we think should be happening because that would take forever right now, I guess.
Well, what I'm looking for is input on these different work plan elements.
So in other words, if we feel that we shouldn't even be working on these things, we should pipe up and voice our concern right now? I mean, is that what you're asking for?
Yeah, I'm looking for input on those WPEs, on those work plan elements.
Well, I mean, I definitely think we should be.
Good way to achieve that objective? No. Lousy way to achieve that objective? Sure, go with it. Oh, here's another idea. Why don't we throw this in? Those sorts of things.
Okay. All right. So, no, I don't. Continue to move forward.
Yeah, I just have a question about the consultants. So they're gonna provide you with input, but they're not going to, and then you're going to talk to us about it?
Yeah, it's going to be two ways, I'm assuming. The process is just starting. They're going to be taking the old documents, starting to update, making the recommendations on how to move forward with them, doing them, section or element by element. They'll be taking input from the community as part of that. They'll have workshops throughout the process, and they will be coming up with work products and then routing those back to the community for input as well. And I see a two-way street on that in terms of the Harvard Advisory Board. When it comes to things that they're looking for input on, we'll find, through staff, through myself, if they need input on a certain, plan element, they'll route it to us, to the city staff, and then we'll get it to the Harvard Advisory Board and get your input on it and route that back. Or they may come up with, X number of paragraphs on things that we'll bring to the Harvard Advisory Board for your input on those things that we'll put back, and they'll eventually get incorporated back into the plan.
Question.
So the way I see our, my department's elements to achieve this objective are obviously provide staff input as required, as it's needed, as they ask us or as things come forward, or obtain Harbor Advisory Board review of their work products, their draft work products. That sounds great. Then to you guys.
The reason I asked the question that I did about the calendar development schedule is directly to that point. If it's possible that some element of the consultant's work product, which relates to the waterfront strategic plan, would benefit from Harbor Advisory Board consideration, is there a possibility that we might miss a window in the consultant's schedule by the Harbor Advisory Board being constrained to have a regular meeting once a month?
I don't think so, because this is going to be, like I say, at least a year process, probably more. So I hope and trust that there will be ample opportunity for things to get turned around and brought back to the Harbor Advisory Board, and that it's, oh, no, we missed our two-week window. The Harbor Advisory Board just had its meeting. Sorry. No, I don't envision that happening.
Then speaking as one member of this body, I appreciate the opportunity to participate in goal number 3E.
Neil? Just for clarification, I think this is what you've already said, but just because of the language as it states, as required, so we would be asked to give input when required, would we also be updated routinely, whether it was something we were going to be asked to give input? Would we be abreast of the entire situation as it unfolded?
Yeah, obviously, as things come forward that look like they need to come to the Harbor Advisory Board, we will bring those back to the Harbor Advisory Board. So, and I can, as that process evolves and moves forward, I will endeavor to make sure, even in my status updates, where maybe we're not even running anything necessarily by the Harbor Advisory Board for input, we'll make sure we keep the HAB updated on where the process is.
I'm good with 3E.
Okay. Gene?
Well, the general plan and the local coastal plan, that's a big, big issue here. And that's going to take some time, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of design review and everything else on it. So there's a, I was just curious, do we need to incorporate some kind of Q4, Q5, or ongoing Q number in there?
I don't know where those are going to fall in at this point. This process has just started, and I think it's going to be every single quarter there's going to be things going on with the larger process. When we'll funnel things here just depends on where they focus first and how much progress they make as they go. As you know, the GPLCPs are both big, hairy documents that are not going to be easy to just knock out in a couple of months. I'd say it's going to take at least a year, if not longer.
Okay.
So probably process-wise, if we can get through each of these, if you've got something to add and we want to add one, we'll add it. If you want to make a major change to something, we'll make a major change to it, as noted, and then get on through it. And then at the end of the night, assuming we get there, probably make one vote and one recommendation on.
Okay. All right, continue on, Eric.
Okay, goal 4, maintain core public safety services.
I think we're going to open it to public now.
Oh. Yeah, okay. Yes, we do need to take public comment on these individual goals.
Bye, Jeremiah. Yes, sir.
Terry Simons again, and my advocacy has been fairly clearly stated earlier. Quite frankly, I was concerned when I heard a member of your planning commission suggest that there may be questions of whether the triangle lot facility was going to be added into and or included in the local coastal plan update and your general plan update. When you started your work product to do a conceptual plan, was it clear to this body that you had the underlying land use authority and zoning and other necessary situations in your general plan to proceed with a marine service facility on that site? Because I was very uncomfortable with what I heard one of your planning commissioner members saying, that this might have to be reviewed by them as a part of this planning update. If you want the Marine Services facility to move forward, I think you're going to have to take a certain advocacy role as a board and make sure that your input is heard as early as possible in this coastal plan and local general plan update, because if you don't, you're likely to get white-holed out and find out that you've been turned into a public parking lot or public park instead of Marine Services facility.
Point and, well taken, and I think that we're all much aware of the situation. You know, this is politics.
Oh, I understand politics.
And Terry, we have done everything that we possibly can to move it to this stage. And with Dana and maybe your help, we can move it even farther. But that land right there is zoned for this type of facility.
Okay.
We know that. It's the only site that we feel, as a body, is available right this second. Okay. So rest assured on that. Okay. And then once we get something ready, it's going to be up to the city council, I will admit, to make that final decision. I mean, it's not our body that's going to make that final decision.
And understand, I work with lots of different agencies, lots of different governmental bodies and stuff, and I like a top-down approach, which is why the first time I surfaced was in front of the city council and immediately met with your city manager and his assistants and have worked my way down and have been told now that this is a good place for me to work and to help build from the ground up to basically bring my understanding and expertise in as a way to assist you to facilitate getting this done. But I've already worked from the top down until I heard one of your planning commission members expressing what I took as doubt that this facility might even be incorporated into the new planning update. That was, no one said that to me before. And quite frankly, I'm looking to basically dedicate a substantial amount of my time and energy to move forward with something. I'd like to think that we're moving forward towards something that's going to be achievable. I recognize there's politics involved, but...
Right, and I think that this conversation probably Dana and yourself should have it afterwards.
Yeah, I think we will. But I did have a couple of other questions. Who is the consultant for the general plan update?
Eric?
I don't know that enough. Top of my head. It's all being run through community development. Scott
okay.
Graham.
Scott
I'll
Graham,
talk.
You could...
I'll talk to Scott. No
okay.
problem.
Yeah.
Talk to Scott.
Okay.
Yeah,
he
Scott
knows.
Okay. Do you know the consultant's name? Anybody?
No.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
They're working for him.
Okay. And then I heard a question from one of the board members about economic impacts. Typically, in my experience, when general plan updates are done, they run with a concurrent CEQA document, an environmental impact report. And normally, economic impacts of a plan update will be addressed in that CEQA report. So I would encourage you to keep your eyes out for the environmental impact document that will accompany the coastal plan update and the general plan update if you have specific concerns about how issues of economic benefit and or economic detriment that are going to be incorporated in changes to the plan will affect issues that you guys are working with. That would be where I would look. Look at your CEQA documents that will accompany those plans. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Public comment? Now, do we have to do public comment, if I may ask, on every goal or just all the goals?
I think it's going to be more effective to go goal by goal.
All right.
Just so we don't get to the end of the list, and then we have to go all the way back to the first.
So if anyone in the member of the audience has a comment or something, just kind of raise their hand, and I'll acknowledge that, please. Thank you.
So goal four, maintain core public safety services. Public safety scrub of the Morbay Municipal Code. This is a review of all public safety ordinances in the code, including various sections of the code that require first offense warning, blah, blah, blah. This is basically updating all the municipal code sections that have any kind of public safety stuff in it. We've pretty much already done WPE 1, which was review of our municipal code, harbor section, and our harbor rules and regulations last year. As you know, we went through that over several meetings. We've got that complete, and we've got all the notes. I'm slowly but surely putting that back together into a cohesive, non-penciled, hand-scratch form of my notes, and we'll be bringing that back to the Harbor Advisory Board. I am WPE 2. I'm proposing to bring that first round recommended changes back to you folks back in Q2 or Q3 of 2016. So sometime in April, May, June, you know, sometime this summer, basically, bringing it back to the Harbor Advisory Board for review of my first round changes that we went through last year, and then bring those, get Harbor Advisory Board input, WPE3, bring the Harbor Advisory Board inputted changes back to the City Council at the end of this year, sometime in Q4 in 2016, so towards the end of the year to get it all adopted and approved.
Okay. I think that's straightforward.
All right.
Question?
What staff's target Harbor Advisory Board meeting date in Q3 to bring a first round draft of recommendations back?
I'm not going to pin myself down to that yet.
You said summer,
Q2, Q3.
Key word was target.
I'm probably going to say mid to late Q3. I'm going to say Q3. Q2 or Q3?
There is no July.
Yeah, how about September? How about September?
All right, September 2016. That's on record. Thank you.
No, we're in Q2 right now. It's going to be gone before we know it.
Okay, any other questions? Ron? Okay. Move on to goal number 5.
Fiscal, ensure fiscal sustainability. This one's a little longer. This one involves the ad hoc committee, as I spoke earlier. Goal 5A, budget forecast. Complete a professional external 10-year budget forecast in the January, March 27. With the new city council. So that'll be WPE1, research and update current capital planning needs and assessment modeling with HUB finance and budget ad hoc committee assistance in the later part of this year. So that's the capital projects list that we've looked at a couple times. We'll be getting the ad hoc committee more deeply involved in that, and I'm proposing to do that at the end of this year. Work plan element 2, WPE2, complete the capital assessment for HAB review and recommendation for next year's budget process in FY17-18, so that will be early next year in 2017, Q1, Q2, 2017. Work plan element 3, research and update the master fee cost recovery estimating and modeling with the ad hoc committee's assistance again later this year, Q3, Q4, 2016. So that's the stuff we did last year, the master fee, full cost recovery work we did last year, looking at that again, updating it, making sure we're still on track. WPE4, complete. Oh, I just went through that one, sorry. WPE5, research and investigate new and or enhanced revenue streams with HAB input and recommendations in Q3, Q4, 2016. So that's the end of this year. That, I think, is one of the key elements to our department getting on a more stable financial footing. We need new revenue sources, increased revenue sources, different revenue sources. We've done great with what we've had, but we need to move to the next level. City Council's looking at food trucks here, I think, in the next City Council meeting potentially, so things like that. Pay parking on the Embarcadero is another thing to look at. Potential RV parking on the Embarcadero or on the waterfront. Pay RV parking, anything else. Ideas out there from the Harbor Advisory Board, from the public, we're game to looking at and researching and seeing if there's ways we can enhance our revenue streams and bringing those through the Harbor Advisory Board. So we're looking at doing that later part of this year. And then WPE6, bring those recommendations for council approval in the early quarter of next year in the budget process. So come up with those ideas the later part of this year. And then early part of next year, get those routed through the HAB and any sort of recommendations and that the HAB may have along those lines, get those to the council before the budgeting process to incorporate in so that we can forecast them into the budget for revenue estimations. Anything on that?
No, I think
okay.
I like it.
Any public? Okay. Goal 6, support economic development. 6A, Tidelands Trust Lease Management Policy. Update and revise the city lease management policy. As you all should know, that we Rick Algert created a Tidelands Trust Lease Management Policy back in, let's say, early 2000s. kind of laid out the history of how the leases worked and how they became to what they are, and that sort of an overall city policy on how to manage those leases. We're looking at updating and revising that policy. There's some things that need updating because they just don't really fit anymore. They're kind of old, and there's some new ways of thinking to look at some of the things we're doing in that lease management policy, so we're going to be looking at revising that. So WPE 1 is develop an internal draft in the third quarter of this year. Element 2 is get the Harbor Advisory Board to look at that in the fourth quarter of this year. And then WPE 3, get a final draft to council in the early part of 2017 for their approval, and then we'll take that as the working document moving forward.
Okay, any comments, public or otherwise? Ron?
Eric, can you direct the board to any resources, published resources, that have to do with lease management as it relates to the Titleist Trust? I'm talking outside the city's established policies. Somebody must have thought about this in some global sense.
I don't have any specific citations or references off the top of my head. I know that there are other communities that have Tidelands Trust lease management that have policies and procedures and similar sorts of documents. State Lands Commission, who is our landlord, has documentation on sort of general state submerged lands and policies and procedures. They've got, and it's off the top of my head, I'm not thinking of it, but they've recently updated some of their documentation that I'm happy to point you towards in terms of what their expectations are of their trustees in managing their properties. Okay.
Yes, Gene?
And I'm not sure whether this is the right location or not, but is there some place that we can put in here a support of the Morro Bay Harbor Department and their lease management efforts as opposed to city council taking over?
I think that's in... Wasn't there a goal that of looking at...
One of the goals, and we'll get to that, is looking at a management partner's recommendation. Yeah. I think to get to Gene's point, right. I would think that a Harbor Advisory Board recommendation in that regard would be that the lease management policy as it is currently written has ample reference to the Harbor Director and the Harbor Department managing all this stuff. I would think if that is the will and support of the Harbor Advisory Board, it would be to maintain that kind of language and not let that bleed off somewhere else. So there could be an element of it in this goal, yes. So when we get the draft queued up and we get through the first round draft and that comes to the Harbor Advisory Board, that would be your time. If there was anything that got in there to the contrary, that would be the time to or cement it in there more solidly, I guess.
So G, Eric?
Sorry. So we're done with A. Goal 6G, Aquarium Project. Work closely with the Central Coast Aquarium to bring a concept plan for approval to Council and Coastal Commission. That's the Council's objective. Element 1, Harbor Advisory Board, review and recommendations to Council on the Central Coast Aquarium proposal after submission, which is estimated to be at the end of this year. I think the consent of landowner that was issued to the aquarium said by the end of this year you got to have something submitted. So the goal here would be get that proposal in front of the Harbor Advisory Board as part of sort of public hearing in towards the fourth quarter of this year. And then element 2 would be begin lease negotiations after concept level approval of that plan. So if that plan goes to the Harbor Advisory Board and then it goes, city council looks at it and says, great, consent to landowner on the new plan, submit it to community development. Community development looks at it once it gets through planning commission, and once it gets planning commission concept approval, it's now gone through its CEQA analysis. At that point, we can start negotiating a new lease. That would be WPE2, begin lease negotiations after concept level approval. Probably at least a year to get through that. If they submit this plan in late this year, and it goes to planning commission in early 17, I'd be surprised if it got through planning commission by 2017, probably more like 18. But we start lease negotiations once it popped out of planning commission and had concept approval. Any questions? Public comment? Okay. We're okay on that one. Goal 6J, Maritime Museum, update the current MOU and complete a license agreement with the Central Coast Maritime Museum. WPE1, staff to complete the MOU, currently in draft form for City Council consideration and approval in Q2 of 2016, so that's in the next month or two. Currently working on that right now. And WPE2, as staff complete a license agreement for administrative approval in Q2 2016. So two things going on with the Maritime Museum. License agreement, we got approval from City Council some time ago to enter into a license agreement with them, and that's really for display of their current stuff, the boats they're going to spread around down there on the Triangle Lot area, kiosk, and then the little building they're going to be building, approximately 20 by 20 on the pad that was built there earlier this year. We've already got authorization to administratively execute a license agreement for display and insurance and all the good things we need to display all that stuff. And then we're working on a larger MOU, which, again, currently in draft form, kind of updating the original MOU that the city has with the Maritime Museum, kind of because the original concept had it in a slightly different area. Things have changed in terms of land ownership, so we need to update and modernize that MOU. So we'll be looking at trying to do that over the next month and a half to 2 months. Questions?
Yeah. No. Comments? Any questions in the public? Okay. Yes, sir.
Again, looking to my sole advocacy for the marine facility, I know because of its integration with the Maritime Museum, where would I get a copy of the licensing agreement and the MOU update that's underway to give them a site and their operating situation, since it's a part of the site that I'm studying and trying to become a part of? I need to know what that interface is going to be all about.
I think via that email I sent you, we kind of laid out the history and everything.
Right.
We need to get together and sit around a table, and I can bring in all the documentation and lay it all out to you.
That works for me. We've got that coming anyway, but I just wanted I didn't realize they were that far to having an MOU and a licensing agreement for site, for a site that doesn't seem
and the
to
Maritime
be that.
Museum is all in favor of us.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Anything else?
Yeah. Oh. Marla Jobertan, Sadowski, North Morro Bay. And for Terry over here, I think our community is so overdue for a marine facility. And I just like to, it's been discussed, and Morro Bay wants a marine facility. Okay. I don't want you to run away. Okay. And the MOU, do you have to do a PRA request to get that, or what? You said you could share it with him, but.
So currently back in, and I don't know the exact date, but it's probably 1990s at this point, the city entered into an MOU with the Maritime Museum that didn't go very far for quite a long time. The city needed to abandon a right-of-way for Surf Street, which is, I think, finally completed. But things have changed in terms of land ownership. Like I said, the current MOU I've got, you're welcome to come look at it in my office anytime.
You have it.
I'm working on a draft one right now to update that one. It'll be largely based on the old one, but I've got the one now you can look at anytime.
Yeah, okay, cool.
All right,
thanks.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Eric, number K.
Okay, 6K, Marine Services Facility, contract for complete and bring to council for consideration full feasibility study for proposed Marine Services Facility. WPE1 is The ad hoc committee and staff identified potential outside private interest in facility construction and operation in Q2 2016. I think that refers to Terry over here and this potential outside boatyard interest we may have in setting up a yard. And if viable interest exists, consider taking proposals before engaging consultancy. I think, Danny, we talked about, you mentioned that a little bit earlier, that not wanting to stall that too much for this potential project. And I guess that'll be up for consideration here. And then element two, if no such outside interest exists or gels, develop the RFP for financial feasibility study. I would propose that RFP get developed with the ad hoc committee's support and help in developing and issuing. And I'd do that in the second quarter, so fairly soon, you know, sometime in the next month and a half, 2 months. And then element three, evaluate the RFP responses and get consultant under contract to do the actual financial study in fall to winter of this year, Q3, Q4 of 2016. And then bring the completed study for council consideration, direction, and next steps for possible site commitment in Q4 2016. So somewhere in there, we'd probably bring back whatever the study results would be back to the Harbor Advisory Board for their input, much like we did the LWC proposal on the market demand. So that I would need to add back into here, but that would be my proposal. So I guess probably the real discussion item here is how do we want to try and handle this potential outside private interest?
Well, I think that we've kind of gone over that a little bit regarding... pardon me? Dana being the ad hoc committee chairman, he has expressed to handle Terry, for instance, that he would be talking to him just like he'd talk to anyone else. And then he's going to report back to us on his findings. Is that correct, Dana?
Well, yes, and Terry is obviously having conversations with city staff, city manager, assistant city manager, regarding this too, which is kind of the first part of this K here, work plan element one. I don't see that this is a problem. It's just gathering information right now. As far as how we do it, I think it's just, I don't know of another way to do it than what we're doing right now.
Okay. And I would insert in here that assuming we do the study at some point, the financial feasibility analysis does get completed, that we route that through the Harbor Advisory Board for input first before we take it to the council, which I don't have written in here, but that's what I would propose.
I want to make sure that that's clear.
We'll
that
get the ad hoc committee involved in evaluating.
If they're both going on at the same time, that's
okay.
That's great. But
okay.
we definitely want to stick with the plan, the recommendation that was authorized by the council.
Yes, sir.
On WPE 1, doesn't normally the city manager or something up there put out the request for proposals for on a project?
No, we've put out RFPs before.
Yeah, you put out RFPs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the staff would identify potential outside private interest. So you would put out a request for proposal at that point?
Well, in terms of the financial feasibility study, much like the RRM mini master plan, identified several consultants that were potentially interested, and we advertised it like we normally have to advertise. But there was, you know, half a dozen of them within the county that we knew would be interested, so we went to them and said, hey, here you go.
So staff should not be working with a potential client to write a proposal. You'd write your own request for proposal?
Yeah, we'd write our own RFP.
Okay.
Ron?
It appears to me that WPE 1 calls for the Harbor Advisory Board ad hoc committee in 2016 Q2 to do what would appear to me to be the work of the city's community development department, and to do that work prior to publication of a feasibility study results, much less on our sending out an RFP. If I'm mistaken about that, please correct me. But WPE2, as written, makes a financial feasibility study as recommended by the HAB, dependent upon the results of WPE1. While I'm certainly appreciative of Mr. Simon's offer and encourage such participation, as written, goal number 6K appears to effectively stall the needed feasibility study recommended to the city, to the council, by the HAB. So I'm a little confused about how putting WPE1 as a necessary precursor to the feasibility study that's been determined to be needed by the HAB is not putting the cart before the horse.
And so based on that and based on previous conversations we've had on that, it sounds what I'm hearing is we're running concurrent. Don't put one before the other. The public-private potential thing can continue to move on where we continue on concurrently on with our feasibility. So basically, I'm on WPE2 really lining out almost that first whole sentence.
Correct.
And just starts with develop RFP for financial feasibility.
That's correct. Correct?
That would be great.
Okay.
That's correct.
Got it. Just the kind of input I'm looking for.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Ron.
Anything else?
That's the city council. Yeah. Okay.
Anything else on that?
No, I think that was the main point. It was a little confusing.
Okay. Well, like I said in the beginning, these aren't do all be all the best thing in the world. These are just what I came up with.
Goal 7E.
The restrooms. Improve city infrastructure facilities and public spaces. 7E, improve trash collection and public restroom cleaning. Research and bring to council for funding proposals to increase the frequency of public trash collection in public areas and the cleaning of public restrooms. WPE1, identify and document the current service and funding levels in this quarter. So basically, what are our service levels now? What are our funding levels? We're actually ongoing with that right now, trying to identify with the recreation folks or the facility folks how much time they're putting into things and how much money we're spending on it. WPE2, with staff, Harbor Advisory Board, and public stakeholder input, identify ideas and strategies to improve the services in Q3 2016, so this fall. We got a little bit of that at the Harbor Advisory Board meeting a couple of meetings ago where we talked about restrooms, so we got a little bit of input already on sorts of things to improve, and I think some of those have already been implemented. WPE3, implement those strategies, not requiring additional funding in this quarter, unless we something, because these are 16, 17 goals and objectives, which don't technically really kick in until after July 1st, although some of them in Q2, obviously they are, because they're ongoing and already going, so there's going to be a little bit of overlap, but if we have any major sort of recommendations that require significant amounts of funding, those will have to go into the budgeting process. If we can get things within the existing budget, we'll put them in this year, but if things require additional budgeting, we'll have to put them into next year's budgeting.
So, Eric, excuse
yes.
me. You know, the thing that I'm a little confused about, and this has been brought up a couple times, and unfortunately, you know, this restroom issue is just ongoing. I mean, I've gotten, you know, as you well know, when you were gone last week, you know, numerous letters, and now the city has actually done some things. You know, they put a sign out in front of the restrooms for emergencies, at least a phone number to call. So there is some action taken, but from what we have been told here at the Harbor Advisory Board, that this is a function of the Public Works. So why is it here now in the Harbor Board when we don't have any authority on the maintenance, the personnel that are involved in the actual duties? So I'm really confused.
Well, the control, I guess, or the
I mean, we pay our $280,000. but we have no control. We don't have any say of what is going on. So I'm really quite perplexed why we even talk about this.
Well, we do have say. We do have control. It's through the cost allocation and the level of services we get. The first step is to determine what level of services we're paying for through the cost allocation. In other words, how much dollars and how much manpower are we paying for through the cost allocation that should be going to our waterfront facilities, restrooms and trash and everything else.
And that's WPE1?
That is WPE1. The second part of that is how much we pay out of our cost. I mean, they're related. How much we pay out of our cost allocation.
Right.
How much we're getting and how much we're paying for. How much we're paying for is fairly clear through the cost allocation, through what the information I've been able to get. How much we're getting, we're not sure. We've put a new in the city's timesheet system. The facilities folks can now, when they do their timesheet every other week, there's a drop. You know, the city's now in the habit of especially in public. Well, in community development, where they're working on projects where you're charged on a permit by how much staff time goes into it. So they've got coding to different projects. So when you do your timesheet, we've now added that on for the public works folks. I keep saying the recreation and parks, but the public works folks to be able to go in and say, okay, yeah, on these last 2 weeks, I put an X number of hours on the restroom cleaning. So we'll be able to get that tallied up. We'll be able to get a spreadsheet and find out how much time we're actually getting versus how much we're paying for. That's step one. And if we're not getting as much as we're paying for, then it becomes incumbent upon the person you're looking at to go back to his boss and say, and to the finance folks and the public works folks and say, hey, I'm paying for this much. We're not getting this much. We need this much. And so that's the first part. If we're getting as much as we're paying for out of the cost allocation, then it's going to become a budget item to where if we want to pay additional funding for additional manpower to address it, whether that's city manpower, outside contracting, whatever, that's yet to be seen. So there's sort of the two steps to get there on getting additional manpower down there, which is really, I think, probably the biggest issue on the restrooms is just not enough manpower on a regular enough basis. The manpower that is designated to them and put towards them in that cost allocation was based on a model that's, at least five and maybe probably more years old than that, and demographics and usage and things have changed. Our public restrooms, I think probably largely, and just thinking off the top of my head, because of the boardwalk. You didn't used to get throngs and throngs of people walking our waterfront from, Beach Street north to the Rock and back using those facilities. It was surfers driving out there or people driving out there to go look at the surf or look at the ocean, eat their lunch and drive away, and they weren't using that restroom as much. Same with our North Teapier restroom. It was our fishermen, really, and maybe some folks down at the fish dock, and that was it. Well, now you got throngs of people walking back and forth, and they're just getting way more usage on them.
Okay.
That's what we're trying to look at.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Any other comments? No? Yes, Neil?
So if this is what we're going to adopt, for the sake of time, when we start talking about the public comment and the need for this issue to get resolved, Q3, Q4, that's after, well, Q4 is after summer when the issue's kind of spiking here coming up in the next month or two.
There are some things that are being done right now. I mean, as I say, I have documents of issues that are going on with the restroom, and there are some changes being made. The city council, as I say, if you go to the restrooms now, there is an emergency number. There is actually someone on call 24 hours a day. Unfortunately, some of the issues are vandalism, and there's not a lot we can do about that unless we had 24-hour surveillance.
Yeah, that's a good point. A lot of it is.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate, but it creates a domino effect. Now, the other issue being there really is enough restrooms on the Embarcadero from the Rock all the way down to Tidelands. It just is. There's not a lot of signage either. I mean, I don't think, and I wasn't even aware till a couple months ago, that there was a beautiful restroom right below Surf Street You know, it's a single restroom, a unisex, but it's all tiled, it's porcelain utensils, and it's gorgeous. But there's nothing that says it's a restroom unless you were right there. I mean, I'm just sharing is that. So I think people are aware. They are going to change signage. They are aware. I think they're cleaning the restrooms more now today. So I think a lot of people are aware of the issue. Now, the Chamber of Commerce is going to get involved now because they're the ones that are bringing in a lot of these tourists and people. It's to their advantage to make sure that we have cleanliness in our restrooms. So I think some action are taken, and it's being done right now, Neil.
So can I just finish? My comment was going to state on WPE1. I know, Eric, you've mentioned that they were looking at a new line item, so you can actually, they've earmarked the hours. I might suggest also interviewing of the employees who do the work and know how much they spend on a daily basis there and see if that concurs with what you're seeing on that line item. And then for the sake of possibly speeding up this timeline, when we get into WPE2, if that can't happen in Q2 also and not wait possibly to Q3. And I'm just trying to see if we can't stack this issue up a little. You know, how can we shorten these windows?
Yeah, shorten it up.
That's all.
I mean, the budget year we're in now, budget numbers are set, and there's
right
with outside of existing line items and, you know, money we've got to spend out of things that we've got this year, we're stuck through Q2.
Right.
On this year, so there's only so much we're going to be able to do this year.
So,
but we'll do what we can.
If we're going to implement strategies that don't require additional funding in Q4, it's almost what's the point?
Okay, so move those up. So WPE3, move those up.
Yeah. As a suggestion.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Question, Ron?
Eric, WPE4, is it just the Harbor Department that will be addressing the funding needs, or will the Harbor Department cooperate with other city departments?
I think it's going to be a joint effort between us and Public Works and the facilities folks, yeah. I mean, obviously the dollar is going to come out of our fund eventually, ultimately. It's really the Public Works folks that are going to be the main players on how to implement things and what to implement, the things that they're going to implement on their end. I'm hoping we can feed things to them as well and be part of the process.
So let me ask you a real rhetoric question. I don't want to get into a whole lengthy discussion, but what's to prevent us from saying we'll clean our own restrooms and we'll handle it as a harbor? I mean, is that even something that's even possible when we get down to this thing and tell Public Works that we'll take care of it ourselves. Goodbye.
That could be one of the strategies.
Okay.
I mean, then we would pull whatever that dollar amount is
we'll hire our own
allocation and contract out our own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else? Any public comment?
At the risk of prolonging the meeting, I sit through a lot of meetings with a lot of jurisdictions, and a lot of jurisdictions are having a public restroom issue. You have a unique situation where, unlike most communities where the fee ownership of the sites that house buildings and facilities that are used by the public, you actually control the leases of the entire waterfront. Something as you're doing your reevaluation, reconfiguring your leases, you might look to clauses in your leases that encourage, if not require, your leaseholders to help provide additional public available facilities for restrooms.
We already do.
Well, we already do. But, okay. You know, I mean, one of the things, too, and this gets to the point, I was in a two-hour meeting on restrooms this morning, unfortunately. And
did you take a restroom break during that meeting?
You know, we asked our leaseholders, when we require them to pay the rent, where their biggest concern in the summertime and when they're trying to service their people and make money is, can I have a key to the restroom? May I have the key to the restroom? I mean, it becomes a point where this has become, and I think as Eric said, there's too many people here on the Embarcadero, and there's just not There's not enough clean restrooms.
That's a good thing, though.
It's a good thing
that there's too many people.
We do have that clause in many of our leases now. We're requiring them to make their restrooms publicly available. Right. It's tough because they get the same vandalism issues.
Oh, of course they do. They're making money off of their leases, and they have funds that maybe the city doesn't have. And you're, like I say, you're in a unique situation because you're the landlord of all of these tenants, and as you move through the releasing processes.
Well, we are looking at that, and again, it's a signage issue. I mean, we have a great restroom in the Marina Square, but you really don't know it's there.
Right. And when you put a sign on it that says restrooms for customers only or not public restrooms or see manager for key to restroom, you're actually defeating the purpose of trying to make restrooms available. Yeah. That's the only
signage
point
is one thing we're struggling with those guys. Yep.
Okay, enough on restrooms. Let's move on to B.
Talk. Goal 7H, is that where we're on?
Yeah, H, I'm sorry.
H, ESH fencing, environmentally sensitive habitat fencing. Fencing environmentally, the ESH, where our boatyard was going to go years ago. Between the Embarcadero Dirt Extension and the Morro Bay Power Plant property in the same manner as the ESH fencing across the street. So along the dirt road, on the east side of the road, as you're going out to the creek, fencing that in the same fashion as the other side of the road. So get a cost estimate in Q2 right now, which is something us in Public Works to do because I'm not quite sure who owns it. I think it's probably going to be a split deal. WPE2, bring to council for budgeting this coming year, the year we're in right now. Again, whether it's Harbor Fund or General Fund, we're not quite sure. Or maybe it can be enveloped into existing budget, just don't have a cost estimate on it yet, and then install it later this year and see who installs it, whether it's us or Public Works. Not sure whose property it all is.
To that point, is this something that's being required of? Is this a response to a request, or is this just some good idea?
Nope, not a response to any permitting or planning or anything.
Is the area getting overrun with traffic?
No. Well,
why are we doing it?
We've had a pretty significant homeless encampment issue in there. That's one of the issues in there.
So that's what it's for. Okay, I understand.
They're proposing the same four.
Same kind, the four wire, five wire, whatever that is.
What role would the HAB play in this particular item?
I don't think the HAB plays any much role other than saying yes or no to the WPEs.
I have one thing to add.
Unless you want to go dig holes.
Are we at that point yet, or are we still? WPE2? Are you talking about Harbor Funds or General Funds, or how about grant funding?
Or grant funding? Okay. No, that's a good point. Okay, we'll add that. Okay, ready for the next one?
Yeah, number eight.
Goal eight, enhance quality of life. Sea otter awareness. Take specific action to raise awareness of sea otter protection practices and participate in the 2016 Sea Otter Awareness Week. WPE1, we're continue efforts. Right now we're working with state parks and fish and wildlife. State parks had a similar, basically the main issue with otters on the bay is adverse interactions with kayakers and stand-up paddlers and the bay tour boats, because there's so many of them in the bay now and they like to get people looking at them. They had the same issue up in Elkhorn Slough, and so state parks and fish and wildlife folks got together with the locals and developed best management practices and found funding for printing up materials for best management practices and education. Basically, education outreach was the first tool that you always reach to for that. So we're already working with parks on developing those things. So WPE1 is to continue working with parks on that. WPE2 is engage stakeholders and identify opportunities and ideas, bring for HAB input and recommendation in Q2, Q3, 2016. So kind of have a sea otter item upcoming agenda in the next couple of months, ideas to raise sea otter awareness and maybe ideas to help educate the public on what they can and can't be doing. And then WPE3, implement those recommendations in Q3 of 16, and then WPE4, participate to the extent possible in Sea Otter Awareness Week 2016, which is typically the fourth week in September. I'll admit ignorance to, I don't know what they do in Sea Otter Awareness Week other than declarations. I know state parks, Ruvishan at State Parks, they've had that sea otter trailer out at Target Rock over the past couple of years. Now they're kind of moving over the pier because all the otters seem to be hanging out there now. So we'll probably participate to the extent possible with that.
Okay.
Moving along, I'm going to run out of water here. Okay. Goal 10, improve city operations, records management, develop prioritized budget, short and long-term plans for improving records management policies and procedures, including development of a trustworthy electronic record system and staff education regarding legal requirements and best management practices. So that's citywide. But then at the end of that, begin digital scanning of Harbor Department records. So WPE1, identify our records to be scanned, including reconciliation of duplicate files with Harbor and legal, and apparently the city clerk's got a duplicate set of city lease files, too. So we've got to reconcile all those three files and make sure that they've all got what they need. So we'll be doing that in Q3, Q4 this year. Attain cost estimate for the scan identified of the identified records that we are going to scan. We'll do that in the first quarter 2017 and whatever that costs, because scanning isn't necessarily cheap to get all that stuff orderly processed. Bring to council for budgeting next year in the 2017-18 budgeting process, and then complete the scan in the end fall of 2017. Currently, our records are active things are in our office, the things that we need all the time. DocuTeam, which is a private company out in San Luis Obispo, has about 20 banker's boxes of old files of ours, and then we've got another 15 or so boxes in our storage yard out at the Harbor Yard. We really need to go through. I've gone through probably four or five times through those records to try and cull out the old stuff that just doesn't make any sense anymore. I actually found an old piece of Spanish silver in the bottom of one of those boxes years and years ago. It's in my desk. Interesting story there.
How much is it worth, Eric?
Yeah, like $175. Not that much. Long story to that one. So anyhow, that's why we don't throw out a lot of things, because you never know what's in the bottom of the box. So we need to go through those records, get rid of the stuff we need to get rid of, shred what we need to shred, digitize what we need to digitize, and get the rest organized. So that'll be a fairly extensive project involving staff and probably outside help on the scanning part. Fun times.
Thank you, Matt.
Any questions, comments on that?
No. Just something to do.
Just something to do. Okay. Goal 10E. When we can sink our teeth into lease management office reorganization. Research and bring to council for consideration transferring harbor lease and property management functions to the administrative services department or another city department. This was a management partner's recommendation from the first management partner's study done in 2008, and updated in 2015. Thank you, Ron. So the idea here is take the lease and property management and go move it up to City Hall and have an oversight up there. And I'm not quite sure what the idea would be for who would do it, but that's the management partner's recommendation. So this is going to be an internal process to bring back to council. So the idea is to look into that, see what the options are, and bring that to council for consideration. So here's WPE1 is identify the functions contemplated for transfer using the Harbor Department level of service document developed in 2010-2011, and we do that in Q3 of this year. The level of service document is a document that Sue Lichtenbaum and I created after Rick retired, and we were trying to figure out how we were going to manage the department without a department head for a few years, and Sue and I co-managed, so we took all the functions in our department that we could possibly identify, modeled it after similar documents that police and fire department have, and put what the function is and sort of its level of priority and who's responsible for it, what position is responsible for it. So I would anticipate taking that document and identifying what the functions that would move up the hill would be in the third quarter of this year. And also WPE2, develop a plan, identify and research peer or comparable harbor models and engage employees in those other harbors for input and data and implement the research plan again in fall and winter this year. So find the other harbors out there that are doing Tidelands Trust or other type lease management or port authorities that are doing lease management and see how they're structured, see what their departments look like, and throw that into the mix. WPE3, with the aid of all that information and research, develop potential models, including the financial aspects for Morro Bay. And this is to include HAB input and review, recommendations for the City Council in Q1 of 2017. So that would be, okay, we've looked at the different harbors and ports, and here's some potential other models. Here's how you would structure it. Here's the duties you would move up the hill, and here's what it might cost potentially, and run that through the Harbor Advisory Board for input and bring that to City Council for consideration in Q2 of 2017.
Ron?
In preparation for this particular agenda item, I again reviewed the Management Partners Report of May 2015 and the city's several published goals and objectives documents. As it did in 2008, Management Partners in 2015 again recommended consideration be given to, quote, contracting some entire, paren, Harbor Department and paren, functions, end quote, and so on. As written in this document, the document we're reviewing this evening, the goal language implies that a decision to transfer harbor lease and proper management functions to the Administrative Services Department or another city department has already been made. And again, a Management Partner's recommendation is referenced. Such a plan strikes me as an insular reaction to a consultant's study that focused on administrative costs without regard to significant larger issues. The Management Partner's premise does not, in my opinion, adequately consider that the Morro Bay Harbor and its many moving parts are an integrated construct. This construct is best managed and its economic elements best optimized with full consideration given to the history of the harbor, the history of its integrated elements, both individually and collectively, and the need for enlightened management and optimization to thoroughly incorporate these various elements. I know for a fact that the Management Partners report did not consider those items. For instance, the concept of contracting out Harbor Enterprise Zone lease administration to a management company, one of the current proposals, ignores the city's obligations and its opportunities to incorporate historical imperatives and locally recognized optimization opportunities into a harbor-related property management plan. That's the bigger picture. The Harbor Department's responsibilities as currently constituted include not only property management, but facility capital management and public safety. These are integrated harbor elements, and they are interdependent. Lease and property management cannot be considered within the vacuum of some notion of administrative efficiency. Waterfront leases and their revenue are by state mandate tied to the Tidelands Trust, and the Enterprise Zone is in turn tied to the Tidelands Trust, as is its revenue, from which the city's harbor-related activities and functions are funded. So I'm indulging your patience, but this is feels pretty strong to me. I'm strongly opinionated about this. The city currently employs a community development manager and a city manager both of whom are charged with optimizing city economic revenue. It also employs a thoroughly capable chief financial officer who is intimately familiar with harbor finances, and a harbor director who is intimately familiar with harbor economics, and a harbor department staff person who is intimately familiar with the administration of existing waterfront leases. The single most significant harbor-related economic risk to the city is not current lease and property management administrative costs, but is the very significant capital requirements of the harbor's city infrastructure. It's my opinion that harbor-related revenues are not currently optimized, and such revenues as exist are in part impacted by inappropriate cost allocation assumptions. What makes much more sense to me is to focus on optimizing harbor revenues while maintaining appropriate cost controls. Further, to do so by harnessing existing city employee talent and expertise. For instance, establish a city-staffed Harbor Enterprise Zone financial body charged with optimizing the enterprise zone revenue and maintaining appropriate cost controls, and populate that body with, for instance, the city manager, the city's chief financial officer, and the city's harbor director. Those are the people who are already being paid to do the job and the people who presumably know the most about what the harbor needs and what the harbor could produce. So, I think it's a fallacious plan to farm it out.
One comment on the management partners study and the update we did in 2015, it is the city manager and the city council's intent to look at every single recommendation on there one way or another, whether it's look at it and cross it off and toss it in the trash, or bring the city council and review it or study it or whatever. So this is one's on the list and has come up for a look. And so whether or not the decision has been made, I think, is yet to be seen. It's we're looking at this recommendation and going to look into it and see what comes of it and bring that back to the Harbor Advisory Board and the City Council.
I think I and I suspect the rest of this board are aware of what you have been charged to do. So my comments, at least, are really directed at city government. I have been told by the city manager the same thing you just said to me, which is every single management partner's recommendation from the May 2015 study will be looked at. I understand that. They paid for it. So, sure, look at it. You bet. But I am also aware, at least anecdotally, that there seems to be considerable interest on the part of city government in making some very significant changes to the harbor management structure. And I'm using this particular agenda item in part to address that.
Okay. Neil?
So could we make a recommendation?
No, I don't think we can make a recommendation, can we?
Well, no, I'm saying within these points.
In these points, yes.
Yeah.
We've got some public comment. If you want to take that.
For public comment? Hold on 1 second. We're not voting. Yeah. Yeah, Neil.
You said that they were going to decide, they're going to look at everything, but they're going to decide whether to move ahead and study the point or to throw it off the table. At what point, does the Harbor Advisory Board have any ability to have, I guess more of an advocacy role to say throw it off the table or look at it?
Neil, just a point of reference, I actually got up in front of the goal setting meeting and also Jeremiah O'Brien, who was here, and Dana, to highly recommend to the City Council that these points of the 107 goals and objectives that they have to do and deal with should not be looked at right now. They chose to ignore my comments, Jeremiah's, and Dana's. So it is here to be looked at. I suppose we, and again, the Harbor Department has been asked to look at it, and I think we need to look at it, but we also need to strongly recommend what our opinion may be, just like what Ron was saying and stuff like that. So I think we need to look at this. I mean, that's not an option right now. We can say we don't have any comment, but I think that would be foolish. So, Gene?
I think we just need to eliminate that category, NH.
And I think Tuesday night we have that opportunity to suggest exactly that.
I did make that same comment, Gene. So, as I said, they chose to ignore me. We can. Yeah.
So, assuming it moves forward, like Bill just said, the attempt was already made to get it tossed off the plate or off the table completely. The council chose to leave it on there, look at it. We'll be studying it and bringing back through the Harbor Advisory Board. It'll be my intent to bring back through the Harbor Advisory Board whatever sort of research we do and whatever sort of other potential models are out there, good, bad, or indifferent, and bring that to Harbor Advisory Board for input.
Well, you know, one of the things, too, and we can actually take these goals or these things and actually put a positive twist on there. I mean, I don't think there's any positive twist, but like this restroom thing, you know, our recommendations being that I think the Harbor Department's going to control all the restroom cleaning and we're going to hire our own people. You know, they want to actually take the maintenance out of the Harbor Department. Well, we're going to say, hey, we're going to, you know, that's a stupid idea. This is what we're going to do, and we're going to control our own destiny. So, I mean, you know, there's two ways to look at this thing. And it's just facts and figures. I think that there, you can look at things, but it doesn't necessarily have to be changed. But then again, too, it's a lot of time involved in doing this. And there's a lot of other things on the table. So, I mean, I would like to actually just take E and H and throw it off the table, too, right now. But I don't know if we have that option and whether or not that would be a great idea for us to do.
Well, I think there's an opportunity. I mean, I like what you said about looking for a positive outcome to these, and there's an opportunity to use any one of these potentially, and certainly an opportunity to use, what is it we're working on now? 10E. Using 10E to participate in the development of a model which, instead of concentrating on a 1,000-foot level issue of where should the leases be managed and who should do it, but look at a 30,000-foot level issue of let's come up with some kind of a model which incorporates optimized lease management and concentrates on developing and producing the greatest amount of revenue for the benefit of the city and for the benefit of the harbor from the harbor's resources, and does so in a responsible and an efficient manner.
I agree. Public comment.
This is very interesting. Marla Jo Bertrand Sadowski, North Morro Bay. I think from a high elevation, look, perhaps why the city has this, it may seem like they picked it out of the air or something, but the way I look at it is that we are fortunate enough to have the Tidelands grant entrusted to our city. And that is requires a higher fiduciary level of, you know, oversight. And so, and getting back, that's overseen by the California State Lands Commission. So I can understand why they would want to look at this. And then I was wondering, but you guys made great points. So the harbor is not an enterprise fund, right? Or is it an enterprise fund?
It is an enterprise fund.
It is an enterprise
yes.
fund. So is that based on utility? Because usually those are utilities.
No, it's based on, it's State Lands Commission granted Tidelands. All the revenue generated within that Tidelands Trust, it's a little mapped out zone, the waterfront
uh-huh.
and out of the ocean.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, has to go back into the Tidelands Trust for everything in the Coastal Act, commerce, navigation, fisheries, environmental protection, recreation,
right.
open space, and the part that goes out of the department is the part, the cost allocation that we pay to the general fund for parks and recreation folks and city council and city manager and administrative services and all that. So,
yes, so I just look at this as an efficiency checkup. I don't.
And so be it. I mean, that's.
You know, I don't feel like it's threatening.
Terry,
as a potential future tenant, and Advisor Risner has an excellent response to the city council's direction on this. So I would say what he said. It seems like an amazing usurpation of the Tidelands Trust authority and their immediate director, who is your harbor manager, if not directly, if indirectly, for the city, other departments of the city to be billing that trust for services that you're now questioning whether you're getting what you're paying for. Now we're trying to take it to a whole new level, and let's let somebody else away from that manage it. And God only knows what they're going to do when it comes time to paying bills and services. I bought my first apartment house when I was 18 years old. I've had 50 years of property management, and I've counseled people and clients on real estate investments and how to handle property management. And I tell my clients, first and foremost, if you have a piece of real property and you want to manage it and make money with it, manage it yourself. If you turn that management over to anybody else, you are going to make less money. If it's the direction of the city to see the harbor enterprise zone make money, then you better let the people in the enterprise zone manage it. The city council and their designees in administration certainly have the right to oversee that. But the integration of services, capital facilities, revenue income, relationship with tenants, the very issue that you brought up earlier about giving your crab fishermen a little bit of a leeway and break because of their obvious hardship that they've suffered, you're not going to get that from a third-level generation property manager. He's going to be evicting your fishermen for failure to pay rent without any recognition of what's going on the ground. So what he said, thank you.
Thank you, Terry. Okay, I think that we probably we need to work with you on this. Yeah, Eric.
I was just getting ready. I didn't have anything to say.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm going to come up saying something.
We're going to go to H.
Yeah.
Harbor maintenance, which is the same thing.
So, anything else on? So, as we develop the, as we start looking into this, we'll route it back to the Harbor Advisory Board at the appropriate time.
Okay. But I still think that, you know, Gene's comment and so is Ron's, is that we should be, I would like to express, or do you, I mean, you're our chief and commander here. I mean, is this something that you want us to discuss at our joint session on Tuesday? Or do you want to let it lie? I mean, I'm being very serious.
Well, it's up to you. It's yeah. I think all your input is important.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, number H.
So H is similar, kind of a similar work plan as well, 10H. Harbor maintenance, evaluate transferring harbor maintenance functions to Public Works. WPE1, again, identify the functions contemplated. Using the level of service document is kind of a jumping off point in Q3 of this year. WPE2, working with the Public Works folks, develop potential models, including financials for transferring those functions to Public Works, including Harbor Advisory Board review as appropriate, mixed in there, and then input and recommendation into the Q1 2017 process. So do that in Q1 2017, and then WPE3 would bring any HAB recommendations to the City Council for consideration in Q2 of 2017. So Harbor Advisory Board looks at it late this year, early next year, assuming we in Public Works have developed some potential models, and then bring that for Harbor Advisory Board review and input and bring that to the City Council in the early part of next year.
Comment, could you explain at least briefly on the harbor maintenance functions, ABC? What are those functions?
So the maintenance functions we do are equipment and facilities. So we do a fair amount of our own vessel and vehicle maintenance, basic maintenance. We don't get anything terribly heavy on the boats and vehicles, basic standard, you know, day-to-day fix-it things. We do oil changes, checks up on batteries and whatnot, kind of like what you do with your car if you're not a mechanically inclined guy that you bring your car to Jim's Automotive or somewhere. We do the basic stuff. We do oil changes. Anything beyond that, we farm that out to one of our contractors, one of the boat places. Same with our vehicles. We do not a lot on our vehicles other than day-to-day maintenance and checklist kind of stuff. Most things go over to the city yard, to the city mechanic, and then anything beyond the basic oil changes and things over there, they're going to send over to Jim's Auto or Morbay Tire or somewhere else. So those things are taken care of that way. Our other things we take care of are our facility maintenance, and that goes everything from fishermen reporting a leaking hose bib or a busted PVC pipe in the dock leaking water. We'll take care of basic things like that. Electrical, we generally don't touch other than shutting off circuit breakers and making things safe and calling an electrician. And then heavier repair stuff, you know, we'll do cleats, deck boards, basic pier and dock stuff of various sorts, gangway things, but anything beyond that, we go through the pump out. That's a fun job, yeah. Rebuild pump outs, stuff like that. We'll do in-house with our patrol staff or Roger. Gets involved in a fair amount of that stuff as well. And then anything much heavier than that, we're contracting out. Obviously, the big heavy-duty jobs are going to like RFPs and full bidding processes, but the smaller stuff, we've got our vendors we go through, and we have them do heavier-duty stuff, like if a pile ring blows apart, you know, at the end of a dock or disintegrates or a fisherman hits the dock and, you know, crushes something all up, we'll contract that kind of work out. If it gets beyond, you know, a couple of boards and a skill saw, then we farm it out. Yeah, Roger picks up a lot of trash along the waterfront, does a lot of little odd jobs along the waterfront, little paint touch-up things and fixing trash cans and touching up, you know, handrails and whatnot. He's all over the place doing little landscaping things.
Gene?
I wanted to follow up on that. Those guys are working on the clock while they're there. If they need to drop off what they're doing and do an emergency thing, they're there right there right now.
So. One other question is, does any of your maintenance fall out into the water, i.e. the buoys, channel markers, moorings, anything like that?
Will
paint docks, stuff like
not,
that?
Well, those little paint floats we build and maintain and shuffle them around. Moorings, you know, we own 8 or so moorings. Gene and one of our Jim Sanders, they're 2 mooring purveyors. They'll do the inspections on those. It's about all we do on moorings.
I was just seeing if there was any piece of this puzzle that was only functional for your department to handle with the access of boats and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, the moorings floating dock, although the floating dock's Seal Haven now, they've pretty much taken over there. They don't do the maintenance very well, though. But, moorings once in a while. Sometimes we'll untangle things. Sometimes we'll build pennant lines for folks. You know, on our city moorings where the pennant lines are worn through, we'll build new pennant lines and we'll go out there on our boat, tow them up on deck. Because you can get the first few feet of deck up on chain and then tie in a new pennant line, rope a new tent. We'll do that.
Okay, do we have any other questions? I think this is another subject that we need to work with Eric on. I think this is an opportunity, again, to maybe put a positive switch of how great the harbor department is. You know, we talk about revenue enhancement, as Ron said. I have always been a firm believer in taking a look at revenue enhancement, and I think that the harbor department should control the Back Bay Marina. I think we should basically do the maintenance on that. I think we should become a power base, and we should actually generate more revenue. I think this gives us an opportunity to do that and to share, you know, facts and figures with the city council. So it's a negative. It's not something that I don't think it's going to go away. So I think we need to deal with it the best way we possibly can. Ron?
Concerning the wording in WPE2, I have a suggestion, and that is that after the word including, that you insert consideration of performance parameters, comma, efficiencies, comma, and financials.
Oh, that's a good point.
Consideration of performance
parameters.
Parameters.
Efficiencies.
Slow down.
That's it.
Efficiencies.
And. You already have financials.
Oh, and financials. Okay.
You already have that.
Would you want to apply that to the lease management office reorganization one too? Because it had the WPE 3 there's kind of the exact same language. Develop potential models. Including financials, so you'd want to say including consideration of performance parameters, efficiencies, and financials. Yep, okay.
So yeah, I think this is right along with what Gene was just talking about, how they're multi-purposing all in one agency here.
Okay. So we're at the end of the list, so what I would like to see, what I think we should do is, as amended, the little tweaks we've done here and there, if we can get a motion and a second and a vote to accept all these or not and recommend these be the work plans to the city council, then I will get the changes to the city clerk either tomorrow or Monday so that she can make sure that she updates the city council because they've got this because that agenda is posted. So we'll get those changes in to them.
Do I hear a motion from any members?
Sure.
Joe?
I'll make a motion to, let's see how would I word that.
So this is for all of them. This is for the whole list we've gone over, not just this last one.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
Okay.
You want someone else to do it?
Yeah, somebody else do it.
Okay, Ron?
Move that the Harbor Advisory Board endorse the draft work plan for 2016/2017 City Council goal objectives for Harbor Advisory Board review, input, and recommendation as presented on April 7th by staff with the amendments that have been made during the course of the review during April 7th by the Harbor Advisory Board.
I second.
So I have a motion on the table.
I second.
And Dana seconded it. Bring it back here. Any discussion? Hearing no discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Hearing none. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So basically, Eric, we're going to be meeting at 4 o'clock at the Veterans Hall. Is that correct? Do you have an agenda? Is everyone aware of it?
Yes. Tuesday, April 12th, 4 p.m. at the Veterans Memorial Hall, 209 Surf Street.
Okay.
You're going to have all 45 minutes to go through all these. But since we've bullied through them tonight, well, like I said, I'll get the changes in red line form to Dana tomorrow or Monday so she can get them to the City Council and to you folks. We'll get them emailed out so everybody's got the latest and greatest. And okay. Anything else you want to add, make sure I captured it all right.
Okay, hearing that, is there anything else we need to discuss tonight? I think that the next thing is future agenda items. Joe? That's okay.
So on this meeting on Tuesday at 4 right. o'clock, this is where it's a joint City Council
correct.
Harbor Advisory Board meeting. This would be the proper platform to let them know just how much I oppose this last section here, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's your prerogative. Yeah, I think, you know. So, does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay, so it's at the Betts Hall, 4 o'clock. Future agenda items. Do we need to declare anything, or do we have...
Look in the
One
minutes.
Thing that I want would like to, well, actually, it's already on the list, I believe, the Coast Guard. Is that correct, Polly?
Coast yeah.
Because we did get some.
On the back of the minutes.
Okay. That's right. There. So is there any other additions to the future agenda items?
So on the Coast Guard item, we, and Bill, we'll talk about this when we do work right. up the agenda for next time, but the Coast Guard did finally get us some input back.
Right.
So that may have something to update there.
The boats on trailer on private property, has that been dropped?
No, it's basically now the Planning Commission, just okay. FYI. It actually went to the Planning Commission. The City Council did drop it in their last meeting. Only because of the staunch opposition from a lot of our community, and they kicked it down to Planning Commission, and so they have it now.
Yeah,
they're rewriting the whole code.
Not
necessarily drop, but
suspend.
But they're discussing it.
They're going to take the existing code. It's going to go back to the Planning Commission for review. As far as existing trailers and RVs stored, they're going to basically not enforce on anything unless it's a public safety or health issue. You know, your trailer sticking out and across the sidewalk or creating a major view issue. They'll deal with those. But anything else, no, they're holding off because they're going to relook at the code, have Planning Commission look at it, and then that'll go back to City Council. And yeah, we can run that one.
Okay, anything else? Hearing none. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So
okay. Make that motion, second it. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. See you Tuesday.